much about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Now get on your feet for the two people who you have been rooting for all season. Ladies and gentlemen, the talk of the nation, here they are.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You know, if you mess with the bull, go for the gold.
You're an idiot asshole.
You know, man, the sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life.
I can't stand it anymore. You're just a miserable dick now.
I will have sex with your...
Come on, Ralph. Oh, God. No. No, just no. Ralph. Ralph. No. No. Ralph, no. No, 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 no. No.
And now...
It's gonna be sweet.
Super sweet.
Sweet, 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 sweet.
Sweet.
Our feature presentation.
By the way, that's true. It is gonna be sweet, 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 sweet. Sweet. That's
we
true.
We have some annoying people on this show.
We do.
Don't we? When you really stop and think about it.
Look, I think everyone has an annoying side to them. Just some of them, Dave, seem to be turning it up lately. You know?
Hey, party people, welcome in. It is already Wednesday here on the Kevin Bean Show. The first Poon. How are you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing fine, Bean.
Speaking of Poon.
Another month that's my month.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm two in a row.
A lot of beers.
That's right. It's May I See Them? Right into Poon, right?
Yep.
Love it.
Pretty exciting.
Before we talk about today's Kevin Bean Show, Kevin, talk to me about you and the continuing battle of Kevin versus the alarm clock. Tell me the history of that.
What
you've tried. Because I've got a great alarm clock story. I've got the ultimate alarm clock that might work for everybody. And I want to hear, because you're a guy who's battled with different sorts of clocks to try to wake up. And generally you do a pretty good job, but you have a lot of clocks going, right?
I do. I have at least 3 alarms set every day. And the problem is that I try not to wake up my wife.
That's tricky. Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I start with a radio, and that comes on, but then I have to turn it way down so that she doesn't wake up. And then, of course, I fall back asleep. Then
all right, talking, news, or music?
No, music.
Okay.
Then I have a buzzer next to the bed that rings like 10, 15 minutes later in case that one doesn't wake me up. But usually I turn that one off right away because when
you
I hear the music because I don't want to wake her up.
Right.
And then I have the save, and that one is in the bathroom. And I have to walk in there to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that, but I've had ones that fly and crawl around the floor.
Those are amazing.
You have to chase them around the floor to get them. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Now, did you stop using the ones that fly and crawl around the floor because they're just too darned annoying
just
first thing in the morning?
Yeah, I don't want to get up and have to chase something first thing.
No, you don't want to get up at all, though.
No, that's true. Right.
So when you get up, did that work? I mean, did it wake you up, but it was just an unpleasant way to wake up? Was that the problem?
It woke me up, but I was angry. That's not how you want to start your day.
Yeah, you don't. That's true.
You want to get up kind of slowly.
It is amazing how easy it is to, no matter how much you know you have to get up, when that alarm goes off, you have the ability, all of us have the ability to turn it off and go right back to bed and right back to sleep, even though you're already up and doing things.
And also we have the ability to say to ourselves, I'm just going to catch another 10 minutes, even though that's burned us 1,000 times. We go, I can do it.
Yep.
I feel good about this.
Well, here's the new alarm clock that apparently is all the rage. This is the one. And I don't know who came up with this, if there's an alarm clock federation or there's a group that meets and says, what do we do? But they have come up with a giant alarm clock that shreds money the longer you stay in bed.
Wow.
You load it up with bills. You can choose the denomination. The ones in the pictures are hundreds. But I think most of us would use ones. But... you know, if the alarm goes off and you don't, you don't turn it off, a dollar bill starts going through and gets shredded, and then another one right out behind it, another
Who's
one right behind it.
That kind of money.
People who are serious about getting up.
But wouldn't you, the very second day, wouldn't you start feeding it, magazines, newspapers?
Monopoly money?
Yeah.
Well, I suspect this is where people who have a serious problem, who say, I really need to raise the stakes because if I'm late one more day, I'm going to lose my job.
Right.
I bet it's those people. So the more time you spend in bed, the more cash you lose.
That's a terrible idea.
Which is the opposite. At least the more time she spends, the more cash she makes.
That's
I don't know
true.
How she does it. But this is a brand new invention that apparently is taking off. I can't imagine too many people would want to try this.
Yeah, but I mean, you're throwing away money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, that one's not for me either. And they've got those ones that are just ear-piercing that wake up the neighbors and everybody else.
Yeah.
Yes.
The sirens. They need to have a dog shock collar. That's what they need. And that way, it doesn't wake up anybody. It just goes...
That's what I was thinking, or a shock on some other part of your body.
Nope.
That just wouldn't wake up your wife,
yeah,
but would certainly wake you up.
Yeah, I'm thinking no.
No?
Again, though...
Plus, I'd find a way to make that pleasurable.
A terrible way to wake up, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to, and that's the mix, is you need some way that's effective to get you up, but not, as you said, Kevin, that kind of starts off your day miserable.
Right. You're happy enough, happy as you can be, getting up that time of day. But
exactly.
Here's the thing that drives me crazy is that on Saturday and Sunday, wide awake at that time. I could get up and run a marathon. And then I go, why do I not have this energy to get up and run a marathon when you have to get up, you're miserable and you can't get up and you roll around and you think, oh, maybe I can roll to the bathroom. And then Saturday you wake up, you go, I feel great.
I think the reason is you're excited to be up. I mean, not that you're excited to be up, but you look forward more to getting up on those days because the time is your own. You can do whatever you want. So there's some incentive to being up early because you can whatever, watch TV or play basketball or whatever you feel like doing in the morning, as opposed to when you have to get up for work, you only have one thing you can choose from.
I guess
that's what it is. So anyway, well, there you go, man. There's your Christmas present next year.
No, thank you.
Alarm clock that shreds money.
You know what I have? I have the Flava Flav alarm clock as well.
Oh, that's great.
When it hits time, it goes, Flava Flav.
Did you bring it in?
What do you think?
I hope so.
Nope.
But Flava Flav's on the show today.
I know. That's why I brought it up, but I forgot to bring it
in. Get a picture of you with Flava Flav and the Flava Flav alarm clock.
See, it's got a clock around his neck, and it's hanging in front of his chest, and that's the clock that you
look at
and you set and you know all that stuff. Yeah, it's the best alarm clock I have. But I don't keep it in my bedroom. I keep it by my computer because I find it funny.
Right.
So anyway, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
What up, party people?
Flava Flav on the program?
Yeah.
He's written a book? With some help,
called,
I'm sure.
Icon, right? He's an icon. I think Flava Flav is legitimately an icon.
Oh, I would say so too, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's odd when someone calls themselves that, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
This seems weird.
Most people deny it.
I'm an icon. Well, you don't even have to deny it.
Promotion is his life. So.
Let other people... Yeah, that's true. He's a hype man. He has been from way back.
Exactly.
So, Flava Flav on the program today. We have Rob Corddry, who's going to be coming in studio. And my God, this show is so great, this Children's Hospital.
Yep.
If you're not watching it, it is going into its third season. It's on Adult Swim. And it's a hospital show, but it's a children's hospital. And he dresses as a clown to cheer people up. But he doesn't look like a happy clown. He's a scary clown.
Yeah.
And at least he's covered from head to toe in blood all the time. And you never know why. There's no reason. They don't show you a scene where he's doing surgery. Nothing. He's just always covered in blood. And the people are having sex and the announcements over the hotel loudspeaker. I mean, the
hospital
loudspeaker system are all ridiculous. So anyway, we got Rob Corddry coming in. That's a very funny series. We have Anthony Daniels coming in.
Mother effing C-3PO, by the way, from Star Wars. How about that? You sound less than excited.
Well,
he's C-3PO.
He is C-3PO. That's true.
Why doesn't that blow your mind?
I'm excited.
Uh-huh.
But I can't go with mother effing. You know what I mean? Like, there's a level to my excitement.
Name a better protocol droid.
Well, I'm not prepared to do that.
Okay.
Let's be honest.
How about a little respect for C-3PO then?
Because really, it could have been anyone in that suit.
I think it's a much more difficult job to play a lot of those scenes than you realize. I really do.
You're basing that on your vast experience
I'm just saying, think about how much emotion was shown in the way C-3PO moved and in the voice and the way
he delivered his lines. I'm going to go with zero. Oh, delivering his lines maybe, but the way he moved, there's no emotion in the way he moved.
Of course there
no,
is.
No, you're crazy.
Because you next time you watch the movies, take a look at how expressive he is. I mean, it's like he's working like a mime because he doesn't have facial expressions to use. But
I watched two different Star Wars on Monday. They had a marathon on Spike.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched two of them and I thought,
and you didn't appreciate Mother F and C-3PO.
That sure is C-3PO. He sure is a guy in a suit.
the force is not strong with you.
I think we've known that for a long time. We have your tickets for the Weenie Roast coming up on today's show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you watch Whale Wars. We have Captain Paul Watson on.
I've not seen that. The only thing I know about Whale Wars is what I see in the actual news.
Yeah, yeah. They always are in the news for something or another. But the Japanese apparently have. First of all, whaling has been illegal. But so the Japanese said, well, we do research.
Yeah.
So
under
the term of research, they're allowed to kill however many whales. So these guys just try and circle the boats, and they literally find the whaling boats, throw stink bombs, try to figure out a way to legally stop them or harass them enough that it's not worth it for them to kill the whales. And it's fascinating. So we're going to talk to him today. We have Adam Carolla on the program today as well.
Damn. How about that? That's a lot of show today.
Yeah.
And we have John Myatt, who is the founder of the Northern Los Angeles Beard and Mustache Club.
All right. You saved the best for last, Kevin.
Yes.
Because we're talking C-3PO. We're talking bearding.
We were talking yesterday about bearding because of the Whisker Wars show that's going to be on.
Whale Wars, Whisker Wars. Yeah. Can nobody be at peace anymore?
Everything you do is a war. But this guy founded a club about mustache and beard. Now, look, most of us, if you want to grow one, you try. It works or it doesn't. That's it. That's the entirety of your emotional tie to it. Not this guy. These guys, they have competitions. They walk the runway.
It's like
a
lifestyle,
judged.
Man.
It's totally all-encompassing.
Yeah.
I'm sure the food they eat, the way they I'm sure everything is geared toward getting that beard or mustache.
I bet they don't eat soup.
And what a waste of life. Right?
How dare you?
What a waste of life. Come on. 30 years from now, he's going to go, I spent my whole life on facial hair. What am I thinking? So anyway, that's coming up as well. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 5:50.
Got tickets for you to join us at the Weenie Roast on Saturday. We'll tell you how in about 5 minutes. First, though, filling in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat, it's your pals Kevin and Bean. Let's start with Dave the King of Mexico, our roving correspondent with late-breaking news. Dave, what's up?
Oh, dude, I don't know if you've seen, if you've been on the web lately, but my favorite gossip girl, Blake Lively.
Yes.
Nude.
Yay!
Oh. In the nude.
Now, this is, first of all, the best news I've ever heard. Second of all, where's the sex tape? Now I'm already looking forward to that. And third of all, I've never seen Dave so excited by anything in his entire life than this news yesterday.
I think the email I sent to you was the best email I will ever send to you.
Yeah, he sent an email and he said, this is the best link I will ever send.
and he was right.
It was a link to photos that she had taken of herself in a mirror. And here's what I find kind of funny about this this trend, is that a camera plus a mirror plus a guy equals nothing. But a camera and a mirror and a hot chick equals fun for all for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. It equals magic.
Yeah.
Now, for the record, Miss Lively, who, by the way, is not an unattractive woman.
Oh, no.
Has issued a statement that the photos are 100% fake. But, yeah, what else would you expect her to say, right? But I wanted to go to Dave because no one has spent more time analyzing Blake Lively and her body than Dave in the whole world. And Dave, you're a little bit of an expert with the spotting the fakes. What's your take on this?
I think it's 100% accurate.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
He has no more knowledge than we do.
Baby. Exactly.
No. Right.
I want to believe. And
But he's on the Blake Lively desk, though. He's our expert. He's our go-to authority on this subject.
He just said his answer is he wants to believe, by the way, as I do.
Yes.
Uh-huh. How would something like, are we to think that Blake Lively took these pictures for someone and sent them out and then that person shared? Is that the guess?
Well,
did her phone get hacked? She had it on.
These hackers are crazy, and they could hack anything. And it's just, you know, if they get
luck
sent,
of the draw.
People find crap, and they found this, and ta-da, here we are.
But here's what's great is that I don't. If somebody were to hack my phone, I don't have pictures of myself in front of a mirror. However,
right. How you
many?
Don't?
How many were there? Four or five?
There was about four. Yeah,
she had them on her phone. Apparently, for some reason. And I think it's just to go, wow, look at that.
I look all right. What, in case she ever forgets what she looks like nude, she'll have those to refer to on her phone?
I'm having a rough day. Let me see what I look like nude.
Oh, yes. Yes, very nice.
Nice
now,
ass.
Let me ask you some follow-up questions at the Blake Lively desk.
Yes.
This is the type of thing that helps Gossip Girl. This is not going to get her in any trouble at work. This is nothing but a win for her career, right?
Well, the Green Lantern does come out soon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she's in it.
Right.
But so, isn't this all just great positive publicity for her?
Nothing but the best.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're great photos.
If she looked terrible, it would be different.
Yes.
Right. And secondly, and final question, is Leonardo DiCaprio, her new boyfriend, going to be not pleased with this? Is this going to impact that relationship, do you think?
I hope so he could leave her alone, not filth her up, you know, like get all dirty.
I hate when people filth her up.
Because Dave,
dude, he's
is
walking
thinking,
herpes, man. Come on.
He is,
Dave is thinking in his mind right now, if she only would break up with Leonardo DiCaprio, that I'm in. That's what's going through Dave's head right now.
Well, he took a number. He's next up.
Oh, I didn't realize he was next after
you
Leo.
Take a number, it says next up, King of Mexico.
Dude, a kid can dream, man. A kid can dream. Don't ruin
it. All right. Listen, head back to the Blake Lively news desk, and if anything on this story comes up today, you be sure to break it and give us the very, very latest. This
I
is
will.
Your beat, all right? You let us know.
I will.
All right.
I'm Dave, the King of Mexico, and I walk the Blake Lively beat.
Yes, you do. Do nothing else today.
Nothing.
All right.
How about that? Lisa, I've never seen pictures of you in front of a mirror like that. And by the way, these pictures...
No one stole my phone.
Hmm. Oh. Dave, first thing you need to do is steal her phone.
Yeah.
No, here's
great
the
idea.
Thing is that you don't... You clearly... It's your will. You're taking the pictures on purpose. So you clearly don't have to be any more undressed than you want to be. I mean, there are millions of pictures online of girls that are semi-dressed right. or in lingerie or something like that in front of a mirror. Mm-hmm. And
those aren't as good, though.
Well, not quite, but I'm just saying.
I haven't seen him.
That's good.
I haven't seen how she posed, but I honestly think that that women do that sometimes because it's really, you'll see yourself in one mirror, you look one way. You see yourself in another mirror, you look another way. You know, one's bad, one's good. You go, oh, I look fat. I thought I looked good. So sometimes I think you just get naked in front of a mirror and you take a picture so that you can be objective and actually see what you look like.
But if that's the case...
Sometimes that happens, and you're not sending them to anybody else.
But you should.
But everybody uses their phone as their camera now.
Right, but why would you save a photo like that if that's the only reason you're using it is for a reference point? Because it seems
so
like you can get the information.
That you look fat, you look at the picture and you go, oh, okay, no I don't.
No, I'm not.
I look good.
I see. Okay. Well, I think all women should do that then. That sounds like a useful tool.
I think what we need, and this is not, I'm telling you right now, this is not a selfish thing. It's for the audience. What we need is Kevin and me listeners who take pictures of themselves in front of the mirror.
Yeah. Go on.
And
yes.
then email them in.
Oh, yeah.
So we can objectively
correct.
Tell them.
And then we can put up a gallery, you know, on the website so that if you're having a bad day or whatever, instead of looking at your phone, you can look at everyone else. You can just go, hey, good for everyone.
That's a fantastic idea.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
So bravo,
Kevin. If you were to email those, and I imagine there are a lot of listeners right now who already have the pictures
probably.
Taken on the phone. Yeah. Just a matter of sending them.
Yeah.
How many fat guys do you think are sending them
lot.
To us right now, Kevin, thanks to you?
A lot. I knew that was going to be a problem, a downside, but I think it's worth it.
And that's Kevin at krock.com.
You are for the fat guys, right?
I'll be the clearinghouse. I mean, if someone has to, I don't want to.
And just for incentive, every person who sends one in, I will send them a sticker.
What sticker?
I don't know. I'll find
you
a
don't
sticker.
Have a sticker.
I'll find a sticker and just send it to him.
I like that he makes the promise without having any idea what the sticker is.
Maybe it'll be a Kevin and Bean sticker. Maybe it'll be
we
a
don't
panda
have
sticker.
A Kevin and Bean sticker.
I'll make one. I'll get a sticker and just draw Kevin and Bean on it.
All right, that's right there.
That's it. So a sticker for you if you send a picture.
All right. There you go.
We have to squeeze in at least one more
don't
huge,
have to.
Huge entertainment story that happened yesterday. And heads are a-scratching right now. Earlier this year, we laughed out loud when Coachella announced that their tickets were going on sale in January for a June show. Remember?
Yes.
We said, what's the rush, guys? And, of course, it sold out in 6 days. Well, here we are only a few weeks past Coachella, and yesterday they made an announcement with details about Coachella 2012.
Now, if you were to guess, how would they change it up next year?
Uh-huh.
Would you have ever come across this idea? Would it ever have come to your head to go, yeah, that's a good idea?
No. We'll tell you what it is in a moment. But if I thought that they were going to make a major change, I would have thought maybe they would move the venue. They would go to a different location.
Oh, I would think that's a great venue. It's hard to get out to, but it's a great venue.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I say it, because it's hard to get out there. And I also thought, you know, maybe they've had such phenomenal success going from one day, which is where they started in 2001, to 2 days in 2002, to 3 days in 2007. Maybe it's time to turn it into a four-day festival. Why not?
Do a Thursday or a Monday, add it on?
Right, exactly. But what they instead came out with is that they are going to hold it on two consecutive weekends with the same lineups for both events. So the weekends of April 13th and April 20th, you will have Coachella 1, and then the next weekend, Coachella 2, that purportedly is going to be the exact same show.
That's their goal, is to get the exact same show so that enough people, you know, maybe there's enough people that want to go. It was sold out last year.
Right.
Now they'll be able to accommodate twice as many people. Two weekends in a row at Coachella.
Isn't it going to be hard to get the headliners 2 weekends in a row?
Well, that's what I thought, is because people plan, you know, the big names a lot, and even the medium-sized names who are on the road, who are busy, they work around Coachella. They go, all right, I know that weekend is Coachella, so I'll make sure to give myself travel time to get to and from there. But then I got to go back to St. Louis to pick up where my tour was or whatever. It seems like it would be incredibly difficult to schedule around. And maybe that's why they're announcing this so early, is so that the people that they now go after understand that the commitment is you're going to do consecutive weekends. What's even stranger to me is that tickets go on sale Friday.
Really?
Now, they haven't announced any acts, but you can buy tickets on Friday for $269 plus fees.
It's kind of they call it a layaway plan. So basically you're putting a down payment on next year. But there's been no one announced, but they have said they're going to try and do it 2 weekends in a row and have the same lineup both weekends.
Golden Voice, who puts on the show, says, "We know many of you were unable to attend this year's festival because the passes sold out much sooner than anticipated. We were truly surprised by the overwhelming response and remain honored by your passion and enthusiasm." So who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe they sell the 90,000 3-day passes for one weekend. Maybe they're, you know, maybe they know from how many people then tried to buy passes once they were sold out that there's another 90,000 people that will go the following weekend.
And there'll be some that go both weekends, but I doubt it. I don't know how many people are going to go both weekends.
I agree.
It's a great weekend, but a long weekend.
Yeah.
By the end of it, you're like, wow, I'm glad that's over. I can't imagine turn around and come right back, but I'm sure there will be some people.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, crazy, crazy news. Hey, before we get out of here for this hour, speaking of great shows, how about the Weenie Roast on Saturday? It's only a couple days away. It is sold out. We have pit tickets for you at 1-800-520-1067. You are going to have to earn them, though. We are going to be playing a game that will involve you knowing songs from the bands that are playing Saturday. 1-800-520-1067. Today's celebrity birthday is the beautiful Alanis Morissette is 37 years old today. The even more beautiful Heidi Klum is 38 today. The unbelievably scorching hot Andy Griffith. Andy Griffith. He's 85 today. And Academy Award winning actor Morgan Freeman turned 74. And that is the showbiz.
You have to play so loud?
I mean, come on. It's a scorching way to begin today. That's all I'm saying. Saturday, got your weenie roast happening with Linkin Park and Rise Against and The Strokes and Bad Religion and A Day to Remember and Face to Face. The list goes on and on and on. You can see it all up close in the pit at 1-800-520-1067 with a game we like to call Speedy Weenie.
Hey, everybody, it's time for Speedy Weenie, where we take song clips and play them really, really fast. Are you ready, buddy? It's Speedy Weenie. Speedy Weenie. Yeah, everybody, let's play. Speedy Weenie. Woo!
I got died.
Mr. Announcer Man is on vacation, so his fill-in Senor Announcer Man joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hola, Senor.
Hola, Kevin and Bean.
I thought it was Mr. Announcer Hombre.
Is
that what it is? I don't know what it is.
Let's put both together. It's Senor Announcer Hombre.
Buenos dias, Kevin and Bean.
Well, buenos dias to you. Hey, explain to our callers on the hold and the people listening at home and in their cars how the game is played today.
What we're going to do is we're going to get a clip of the song that from a Weenie Roast artist and speed it up.
All right. So this is going to be a song you've heard a million times on the Kevin and Bean Show, yet it's going to be played a little bit faster than perhaps you're used to it. You'll have the opportunity to hear it just twice. Then you have to tell us, are we giving them the artist? They just have to come up with the song title? Is that
correct?
Right? Okay, let's meet our first contestant and see how this goes. I have no idea how tough this is going
to
be.
Let's talk to Marvin. He's a hairstylist.
Good work. Good work, Mr. Ombre. Marvin, hi.
Hello.
All right, Marvin, listen up. You're going to be listening for a song by the band Cage the Elephant. Here it is. We'll play it for you twice.
All right. That's once. Here's the second time. Sped up a little. What's the song title?
Name the Rest of the Wicked.
Yes! Did he say taint in there somewhere? I'm not sure.
I think his spirit was there. It's Ain't No Rest for the Wicked. That's right.
Oh, there ain't no rest for the wicked.
Nicely done.
Arriba.
All right, one for one. Senor announcer Ombre, who's next?
Now let's go to Materido. He's a water chemical specialist.
What's wrong with you? This isn't working. You can't read. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Or as Dave says, Matrigo. Are you ready for Speedy Weenie?
Yes, I'm glad I didn't get that first one because I never would have guessed it.
What? Really? That seemed easy. All right, well, here you go. Here's yours. This is from The Strokes. Here you go. All right, that's once. You can hear it one more time. I always wish people's alarm would go off right there. What's happening?
What do you think, Matt?
I'm going to have to pass on that one. I couldn't even name you one stroke.
So. Oh.
Too bad.
There was last night.
Last night.
Thank you for the call.
By the way, it's easy when you're not playing the game, too, Kevin. Yeah, it's a lot harder on the other end of the phone and when you don't have the answers in front of you.
Well, let's go to Danya. She's a student at Santa Monica.
All right.
And by Danya, you mean Dana?
Sure. Yeah, Dana.
Hey, Dana. You ready for Speedy Weenie?
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Good luck.
Kevin meant to tell you, are you ready for your Bad Religion song? Listen up.
Es mucho cuico.
Shut up.
It's a Bad Religion song, you said?
Yes.
That's right.
Sorrow?
Which one? Sorrow? No, I'm sorry.
Oh. When the hills of Los Angeles
are burning.
What a mentirosa.
Sorry.
Senor Mr. Ombre, this is a tough game.
No, it's just really fast. Ay-ha! Now let's go to Roberto. He's a file clerk.
File clerk, by the way. Robert, hi.
Hi.
Are you ready for your song? This is from
Roberto.
Lincoln. It's from Linkin Park. You ready?
I think so.
All right, Linkin Park. Here you go.
Wow.
God.
I hope they do it like that on Saturday. Wouldn't that be great?
Good luck, Robert. What do you think?
I have no idea. Terrence and Starby?
I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Did you say Terrence Trent D'Arby?
He's not on the bill.
Well, no, it's not only that. It's also that I told you it was a Linkin Park song.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
so there's
that's
that.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Andale to the next one, because he's a...
That was one of the best guesses ever, though. I got to give you credit
Terrence
for that.
Terrence Trent D'Arby.
So far, our man Marvin is the only one in the drawing to win the ticket, so it's looking pretty good for him, unless somebody else can come up with one.
Now let's go to Randio. He's a truck driver.
David, you don't make it Spanish by saying Randio.
Putting an O at the end of everything makes everything
It
Spanish.
Does for people who don't have Spanish parents. Mexican parents.
Randolini?
All right, Randy, hi.
Hi.
Are you ready for Speedy Weenie?
I'm sure. Let's give it a go.
All right, this is Neon Trees. So you know who it isn't? Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Is it Cyndi Lauper?
There you go. All right, one more time.
Now, I think we mostly narrowed it down to two possible choices for Neon Trees songs. Which one is it?
I don't know.
Ay,
ay, ay. All right. I hate to tell you this, but I believe we are out of time, ladies and gentlemen.
Ay, mio.
Who knew this was the hardest game in the world? Yeah. We thought it would be pretty simple.
Kidding. I mean, you are pulling from the universe of the band. If we say The Strokes, there's really five or six songs you're going to think of, but apparently it's harder than we thought.
Unless you want to go with Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Well, there's that.
Lisa, who's in the drawing?
Marvin.
Who won the drawing?
Marvin.
Nice going, yeah. Marvin.
Yeah. Arriba, arriba.
Nicely done. You're going to be in the pit on Saturday.
Thank you.
Thank you. Adios, Kevin and Bean.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senior Announcer Ombre.
Hey, thanks a lot for playing Speedy Weenie. You now have tickets to the Weenie Roast 2011 in the pit.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 25 minutes after 6.
Now, when I hear that song at the normal speed, it sounds too slow.
Yeah.
Well, now I want to hear it like we did before. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. I can't believe neither of you guys are following Wienergate. Wienergate is the best.
I didn't know how I missed it.
I was unaware of Wienergate yesterday.
Wienergate. Kevin, you'll love this, if only for the fact that the guy involved who's been accused of sending a Twitter photo of his junk to a 21-year-old college student is not only a representative of the United States Congress. Democrat from New York, the slimiest, sleaziest guy you'll ever see. His name is Anthony Weiner, ladies and gentlemen. His Weiner is right there in his name.
Wow. Well, then why didn't we expect this?
So how could he deny it, right? So what happened is, apparently, he sent a Twitter, someone he follows on Twitter, a 21-year-old girl, which, by the way, is a fascinating question right there. Why is he following this random 21-year-old chick on Twitter? He's a congressman in New York. She lives in Seattle. Don't get that. It's a picture of, it's not a nude, it's a lewd photo. It's a picture of his boxer briefs, and he, you know, there's not much held back for the imagination.
Sure.
This close-up of his shorts, right? So everybody's been hounding him for the past couple of days since this came out. And originally he said that his computer was hacked. And then they very soon backed off of the hack story and said, oh, it must have been somebody trying to play a prank on him. So reporters at every opportunity are trying to ask him some basic questions. And you won't believe, as much as we all hate politicians, you won't believe how slimy and evasive this Anthony Weiner is. And I think you'll enjoy hearing a little bit of what happened yesterday.
You say that you were hacked, which is potentially a crime. So why haven't you asked the Capitol Police or any law enforcement to investigate?
Look, this was a prank that I've now been talking about for a couple of days. I'm not going to allow it to decide what I talk about for the next week or the next 2 weeks. And so I'm not going to be giving anything more about that today. I think I've been pretty responsive to you in the past.
By the way, he says he's been responsive to the past. Hasn't answered that question, though, which is, if you say your computer was hacked, why don't you report it and try to get somebody to find out who did it? Isn't that a serious offense? So he has no answer for that. There's a lot of things he has no answer for.
Why? With respect, you're here, which we appreciate, but you're not answering the questions. Can you just say why you haven't asked law enforcement to investigate what you are alleging is a...
You know, Dana, if I was giving a speech to 45,000 people, and someone in the back of the room threw a pie or yelled out an insult, would I spend the next 2 hours responding to that? No, I would get back...
This is not that situation.
I would, get back. Well, why don't you do? What you want to do the briefing?
Do you want to do the briefing, sir? From your Twitter account,
sir.
A nude photograph was sent to a college student.
Sir.
Answer the question. Was it from you or
sir.
Not?
Permit me. Do you guys want me to finish my answer?
Yes, this answer.
How defensive is he at this point? He's a congressman, by the way.
And the guy asking the question is an idiot. He should go, yes, I'll finish, and walk up and go, I sent the picture, and I'll take photos now. I mean, he had a great opportunity.
I do love, do you want to do the press conference? Yeah. Do you want to answer the questions as well as ask them? Which is his way of saying, I'm treading water now. I'm stalling. I don't want to answer this question. Please let me go.
This is not an unreasonable question.
Did you send it or not?
If I were giving a speech to 45,000 people.
Okay, and then he went on and did the whole thing again.
He did that again?
Yeah, said the exact same thing. Somebody threw a pie. I wouldn't spend the next 2 hours, blah, blah, blah. He talks about how he's getting off message because he keeps getting asked all these questions.
I would return to the things that I want to talk about, to the audience that I wanted to talk to.
All you have to do is say no.
And that is what I intend to do this
week. All you have to do is say no to the question.
Let me try this question. The woman who allegedly got this tweet, or was directed to, a 21-year-old college student in Seattle, she released a statement to the New York Daily News yesterday saying that you follow her on Twitter.
Is that true? Did you follow her on Twitter? And if so, how did you find her? What was the reason?
You know, is that a reasonable question, you guys think?
Yes. And my answer is she must be hot, and she must put pictures on Twitter, which somebody tipped him off to, and he said, okay, I'm going to follow her. You know that's the case.
That sure seems like a more likely explanation than what he's about to say.
You know, I have, I think, said this a couple of ways, and I'll say it again. I am not going to permit myself to be distracted by this issue any longer.
He's not going to permit himself to be distracted by this issue. Look, these are not tough questions, and this is what drives people crazy about politicians, is if he answered to the questions, it would go away, right?
Well, yeah, then they could check on his answers. It might go away if there was nothing else to be said, but in this particular case, it's not a guy in the back of the room throwing the pie, it's him throwing the pie.
Right.
I mean, it's him doing the wrong.
Right.
So this is a very valid line of questioning, I would think.
I would think so, too. And then I was thinking about it yesterday, and maybe what happens is if he just keeps playing this the way he's playing it right now, yeah, he's annoying to people, and yeah, he's frustrating to people, but there's no red meat for them to continue to run on because there's no facts for them to track down at this point. And maybe people do forget about it, and maybe as slimy and as sleazy as he looks right now, by the time election cycle runs around again, maybe people won't have remembered this because he won't have been convicted of anything, and it'll just be a distant memory. And maybe it works for him. Maybe he's smarter than I think he is, and he knows what he's doing.
Was it covered under the shorts, but you could see what was happening?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. His shorts were still on him. Exactly.
Then he should have said, I sent it. I swear to God, he should have said, I sent it. It was stupid.
Yeah.
It'll never happen again. And then at least they would have an answer, but him not answering is getting, I mean, they're tag teaming each other, these reporters. Yeah. Let me handle it. I'll try it a different way. I mean,
yeah, just, exactly.
They're working together now.
And he's not done.
All you have to do is say no to that question.
You are free. You're very good at...
You're not following her on Twitter. Well, say no to the
why
question.
Don't you... Why don't you let me do the answers and you do the questions?
As soon as you answer the question asked you, sir, we will.
I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you.
You follow an awful lot of young women on Twitter. Is there a reason that you have so many ladies that you're following on?
By the way, in related news...
Okay, now is he going to answer this question? Why are you following so many young ladies on Twitter?
Because right? Women are hot. Just exactly. Say it.
I have the opportunity to look at 21-year-olds right. On my computer. That's why. Is that a crime? No. Good day, sir. That's
right.
Let's see what he says instead.
I have in the famous hashtag Scrappy Chasing Crazy, I passed Michelle Bachmann today the number of Twitter followers.
Okay, so basically what he's doing is what he's basically saying is I'm not the craziest member of Congress because this Michelle Bachmann, I have more followers than she does right now, I guess.
The girl's name?
No, that's she's a congressman Bachmann. From Wisconsin.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. Okay.
Or Minnesota, whichever one she is. So he basically is, it's just another way for him to keep deflecting. They keep going after him.
I will give you that additional fact.
Is that a result of this?
Unfortunately, it probably is.
Congressman, you understand what's going on here, the frustration. We appreciate you coming out and you're talking to us. Sure. You're smiling, you're cooperating, and that gives, you know, good optics, but you're not answering the question. So can you answer
this is now, these
basic questions?
This is now day. This is now day. This is now day three. You have statements that my office has put out.
But they don't answer the question.
There are statements that my office has put out. And there are going to be people who are going to want, look, this is the tactic. The guy in the back of the room who's throwing the pie or yelling out the insult wants that to be the conversation.
But you are the one who said you were hacked. And that's a criminal potential.
I'm going to have to ask that we follow some rules here. And one of them is going to be, you ask questions, I do the answers. That seem reasonable?
I'd love to get an answer.
That would be reasonable, right? You do the questions. That would be reasonable. You do the questions. I do the answers, and this jackass interrupts me.
Okay. I think that's about enough of Congressman Weider.
Man.
How crazy is that?
First of all, he's an a-hole, and everyone knows it. And his answers mean, by the way, let me just interpret.
Okay.
Yes, it was me. I sent him out.
Yes.
And I don't want to admit it.
And it's probably not the only one I sent. So just that's what he's saying when he's saying all that.
Right.
A. B. Who has the world's loudest camera? Why is that camera so unbelievably loud?
It explodes
with every picture.
And how many pictures of a guy standing in front of a building in a suit talking to a microphone do you really need, by the way? Aren't they all pretty much the same?
I hope the reporters never back down. Did they?
Well, they showed about 4 minutes of a 7-minute interaction yesterday, and I don't know if – I doubt this is going to be the end of it because, as you can hear, he's not answering any of the questions. So, yeah, people are – especially in New York are going to want to find out more about what this congressman is up to. But I just – I wish our memories were longer, and I wish that when reelection time comes around, everybody in his district would go, that guy's an a-hole.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to vote for him.
Yeah.
That's what I wish.
And
but so often
he's
they get
stupid
away with
enough
it.
To never have changed his name away from Wiener.
I know. Good
that
point.
That right there means he doesn't have good judgment. He's not getting my vote.
That's all coming up. First, though, we look ahead toward Friday night at 9 on Animal Planet. Kevin, I know you're a big fan. It is coming back for its fourth season. Let's talk some Whale Wars.
This season on Whale Wars.
We have to save our oceans to preserve our own selves. If the oceans die, we die. In order to save whales, people have to be willing to risk their life. If they attack me, I'm going to respond. I'm not backing down to them in any way.
Hold on. We have to get in there now.
We've already put a tracking device on one of the boats, so wherever that boat moves into, we'll be able to follow it. We're going to shut them down immediately.
Whale Wars.
Yeah, that's a it's a fascinating show because it's they're weird laws and they're international laws, and the Japanese have laws that are different than our laws, and mm-hmm. they say it's all in the name of research, mm-hmm. but they're killing, you know, tremendous amounts of
whales.
They're
eating their research is what they're doing.
Sure. Some of that's happening, yeah.
That's why the USA has Captain Paul Watson to stop them from doing that, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Captain, how are you? Great to have you on again. I can't believe it's in the fourth season already of Whale Wars, but it's amazing how you keep coming up. I mean, obviously your fight never stops because there's always somebody to go after, but there's so many twists and turns with the crazy life that you lead that it seems like you'll never run out of shows.
Well, this year actually is quite different. We went down there stronger than the Japanese for the first time. We shut them down a month and a half, sent them home a month and a half early and saved 800 whales.
No, I
don't think they're going to be back.
You don't think they're going to be back.
Think you beat them? You think you won?
Is that wishful thinking? Because I would like to think that's true as well.
Our objective was to sink them economically, to bankrupt them. I think we have. They're $200 million in debt and subsidy loans, and we demonstrated that we can shut them down as soon as we're on them. We were on them in record time this time. They took only 15% of their quota before they quit.
Wow. Now, are you a wanted man in a lot of countries around the world? If you were to set foot in some countries, would you be arrested for some sort of terrorism, Captain?
But absolutely, the truth is no.
Even in Japan?
No, but Japan put me on this thing called the Interpol Blue List. It means I'm not wanted or nobody's going to arrest me, but I'm to be harassed.
Ah.
Oh, my gosh.
Really? They have a harassment list?
Yeah, the Dalai Lama's on it. According to China, he's a terrorist.
Give this guy... Oh, I see. Okay, so you're on the same list as the Dalai Lama?
Yeah.
That's a good list to be on.
Wasn't there a time a couple seasons back, though, where you were in trouble in Iceland for a similar thing, and you were named persona non grata there? I thought that meant you couldn't go to Iceland anymore.
Well, that's what they say, but the fact is in 1986, we sank half of Iceland's whaling fleet and destroyed the whale processing plant, and I went to Iceland and demanded that they arrest me, and they told me to go home, and Minister of Justice said, who does he think he is? He comes into our country and demands to be arrested. Get him out of here.
They so you went in and said, okay, if you want to arrest me, and they said, no.
They didn't want to deal with it, arresting an American.
To put me on trial would have put themselves on trial, and they knew
oh,
that.
Oh, interesting.
Captain Paul Watson is one of the co-founders of Greenpeace and was a member of Greenpeace for a long time, and then, depending on who you believe, he got kicked out or left because he didn't think their tactics were strong enough.
Well, actually, I got voted off the board of directors.
Voted off, okay.
But it's, you know, Greenpeace just became a bureaucracy, and I couldn't. And I'm not a protester. Greenpeace is a protest organization. I wanted an interventionist organization. That's what CSERP is. We intervene.
What is the what's the core of what drives you in reference to the whaling industry? What is it about you? What is it about it that makes you so crazy that you've dedicated your life to it? And the reason I ask that question, Captain, and with all due respect, is that many of us see stories like this in the news and we go, that's terrible. That's horrible. But I don't have the time or the motivation or the initiative to go out and do something about it. What's that extra switch that's flipped in you?
I was raised in a fishing village in the east coast of Canada, and I've seen the steady diminishment of life in our oceans and this understanding, you know, we are intimately connected to our oceans for our own survival. If we destroy the whales and if the fish disappear and we're overfishing everything, then the oceans will die. And if the oceans die, we're going to die. Civilization can't exist with a dead ocean. And so really this is a question of self-preservation.
I hear you say that, and I think just what Bean said, which is, wow, I hope someone's doing something about that.
So, the captain is the someone, I guess.
I'm glad you're out there doing that. Now, I do have a question, and this is not just meant to be insulting, but did you see the South Park episode?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
Okay, here's a little clip from South Park, and it's called Whale Whores.
Are we ready to do this?
Yeah!
Yeah, hell yeah, let's do it!
Are we badasses?
Yeah!
Are we badasses?
Yeah! Yeah!
All right, so what do we do? Wait, I know. How about we go on their ship and then beat ourselves up? And then we can tell the media they did it.
Great idea, Captain.
I'll start right now.
Oh my God, Luke's been hurt trying to save whales.
Wait. I've got a better idea. It's time to bring out the big guns. You guys ready? Throw the stinky butter at them. Ha ha, you stink now. Ha ha.
All right, so the reason I play that is because it does bring up the fact that your hands are tied a lot by the laws. You can't really do much. You have to get super creative because laws won't allow you to
use force or violence.
Yeah, use any kind of force or violence against them.
We have to operate within the boundaries of the law and of practicality, but that rotten butter acid works.
Right.
And the fact is that we succeeded. You know, I have to say, if you get on South Park, I mean, it's an indication that you're actually part of the popular culture.
I agree.
You certainly can't complain there. I don't think those guys, Trey Parker and who's the other guy?
Matt Stone.
Yeah, they don't. I don't think they have a sense of humor because I wrote them a letter saying how much I liked it, and they got really angry.
What?
Yeah, they called me a liar. They said I couldn't really possibly like it. And I said no, I really liked it. You know, so that's... We printed our own South Park T-shirts and said, okay, sue us if you want, but better be.
You're just a rabble rouser, aren't you?
That's funny.
I said, look, you know, you put your guy on my ship, therefore you gave us the rights to use his image because all our crew members have signed over those rights. So if your guy's on our ship, we're going to use his image. So sue us if you don't like it.
That's hilarious. Captain, we're almost out of time. We're talking to Captain Paul Watson here on the Kevin and Bean Show about the fourth season premiere of Whale Wars, Friday night on Animal Planet. I have to ask you this. Environmental reasons aside, and I think you're very sincere when you talk about wanting to protect the oceans, anytime you're involved in any kind of a business or stopping a business where so much money is at stake, there has to be some real fear of being killed. I mean, people have been rubbed out for a lot less money than the Japanese whaling industry brings in. Why? Is that something you're ever worried about?
Well, we've been beaten up, shot at, depth charge, rammed. It's always a constant threat. But, you know, you don't do anything in this world without making enemies if you're going to try and make any significant change.
Let's talk about the ramming. What was that black boat called?
Black boat? The Adigili. Yeah, it was cut in half last year by one of the Japanese boats.
They rammed it and cut it in half.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had a guy, a Pete, like, get on board their ship, and he spent some time in a prison in Tokyo. What's happening there?
Ordered the vessel that rammed and destroyed his vessel, and he was charged with trespassing, brought to Japan, and put on trial. And we spent $500,000 to get him out, and he was released after 4 months. But then we replaced that vessel with a faster, more maneuverable vessel, the Godzilla. And
sweet.
The Godzilla was actually very instrumental in our success this year.
That's the way to terrify Japan, is to come out with something called Godzilla, by the way.
Yeah,
good call.
I couldn't resist the title. Good call. We just had to change the name of the Godzilla because the only thing more frightening than Godzilla is Godzilla's lawyers. So,
I see. Interesting.
The beast is now called the Bridget Bardot.
Oh, my God, that's funny. All right, last question, Captain. You sound like an adrenaline junkie. I don't know if you are, but your life I can't even conceive of. Is there ever a time where you just sit on the couch in your underwear, drinking beer and eating hot Cheetos and watching baseball on TV? Does that ever happen?
No.
Do you ever watch shows like Jersey Shore and go, man, they're not doing anything?
Never was.
No, all right. Just checking.
All right, well, keep up the good work out there, Captain. Whale Wars, fourth season premiere happens Friday night at 9 on Animal Planet. Definitely check it out. And thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show means This Week in Rage. Adam Carolla joins us after the top of the hour. First, though, we're taking a look at the showbiz beat. You know, the sales in the record industry have not been good lately. That's a headline we've been hearing for a long time. Sales are way, way down. Far more people get their music illegally than get their music legally. So it's kind of noteworthy that Lady Gaga's Born This Way, in sales figures released this week, debuts at number one with over 1 million copies sold in the past week.
Wow.
When was the last time you heard about numbers like that? Over 1 million copies of a new record in a week sold, legitimately, legally. Biggest first week sales since 50 Cent, The Massacre, back in 2005. Let's take a look at how Lady Gaga did it. She put it in Farmville.
Yeah.
She put it in a Google Chrome commercial. She sold it at Starbucks with a non-fat double latte. You can pick up the Lady Gaga album.
What if
as
you
well.
Wanted a fat double latte?
I think that's fine, too.
No.
They put the album in more than 20,000 non-traditional retailers, including CVS pharmacies, Whole Foods, and Walgreens, people who don't normally sell music. She was on every show on television. She was on Saturday Night Live. She did the Oprah Winfrey Show. She was on Letterman, Ellen DeGeneres, American Idol twice. She guest edited V Magazine and the Metro newspaper. She did a documentary for MTV. She showed up and greeted fans in a New York City Best Buy. She pretty much did everything but go door to door. The one thing that did inflate the sales a little bit that people are questioning or wondering if this is the future of the music industry is that a couple of days in there, she sold the album through Amazon.com for 99 cents.
Oh, interesting.
Well, of course, then you can sell a million.
Yeah.
You can buy Lady Gaga's Born This Way for a few days last week for 99 cents. And there are some people who are like, hey, that shouldn't count. That's practically giving them away. And then there are other people saying, hey, maybe this is the future of the music industry. Maybe instead of everybody getting it for free, let's sell a bunch of them for 99 cents. At least we make something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she definitely worked her ass off. And it'll be interesting to see what the staying power is of this record. But she did sell over a million copies in the first week. So congratulations to Lady Gaga. I can't imagine. I'm not the type of person who's going to buy and put on a Lady Gaga album and listen to it. I don't mind her songs when they come on the radio.
Too manly for you?
She's not really speaking to me.
Oh.
I don't know. But I just thought that was interesting to see how hard someone has to work for the kind of numbers that we used to take for granted just a few years ago every week.
I think musicians have given up on making money on albums, which they used to be able to make enough that they never had to tour.
Right.
Now, they make all their money touring, and they make very, very little on the album.
Yeah, the album is just a giveaway to say, hey, come see me in concert. Right.
So, having brought up touring, let's tell you about Coachella again in case you missed it last hour. The Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival, which just happened in April, is going to be changed next year. It's going to be changed to two weekends.
What? Now,
that doesn't mean like a Friday one weekend and a Saturday the next or something like that. It means they're going to have the entire show on one weekend, which is going to be April 13th to 15th. And then they're going to have the exact same lineup, a whole nother Coachella the next weekend.
Is that crazy or is that genius?
So you've got April 13th to 15th and April 20th to 22nd. So according to them, they're going to try and book the exact same bands. I guess maybe it's because they sold out last time and they saw that there was a bigger audience for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're going to sell tickets starting this Friday on a layaway plan. You can either put 10% down and pay on them over the course of a year, or you can buy them a three-day pass. Starting this Friday for $269 for all 3 days.
And you choose your weekend.
The two weekends in a row. But, you know, it's not like they're saying, hey, everybody, we want you to come back. We're going to hold back some of it for next weekend. You can see it all in one weekend.
Right.
Just have to pick which one, but they're going to do it two different weekends in a row. And that's very, very different than it's been in the past.
Look, I have questioned a lot of Coachella's decisions over the years, and they always turn out to know way more about these things than I do.
Really?
They always seem to be right. I mean, when they went to three-day only passes, remember when they came out and said, hey, we're not going to sell single days? We thought, well, who's going to go to that?
Yeah.
Who's going to want to just go to the 3 days? Lots of people can't go to 3 days, don't want to waste the money by paying for three and only going to two or one. But, you know, they didn't have any problem selling it out. So, I mean, it is one of the premier music festivals in the world. So if anyone can do it this way, Coachella can do it.
You know those pre-interviews that I do? I go down there and talk to people in Tent City and all of that?
Mm-hmm.
And most of those people are not from California. They're from Canada and just everywhere around the country. They come in for that weekend. So I imagine they're thinking this is a national audience, so they could probably get away with putting on two whole shows.
Yeah,
maybe so. It is funny, though, just a few weeks after the last Coachella, you could already put down money for next year, and they haven't announced a single band. This is a surprise to me. It's pretty common in show business, once you get married, to at least keep your show business name, because that's how people know you. Kim Kardashian says she's not going to be that person, though. She's going to change her name when she gets married, and she will be known as Kim Humphries.
What?
Because she's an old-fashioned girl?
I guess. I mean, that's the biggest name in reality television is Kardashian right now. And she is going to take her husband's last name. She will be known as Kim Humphries. Her mom, Kris Jenner, by the way, is not pleased about it. She says, I don't think she should take his name and be Kim Humphrey. She needs to stay Kim Kardashian because she's worked so hard to get where she is. Look, this wedding is going to be high profile enough. Enough people are going to know about it that there won't be any confusion. There's not going to be anybody out there who's going to be going, whatever happened to Kim Kardashian? And look how hot this new chick, Kim Humphrey's is. I don't think that's the fear. But the one thing I would keep in mind is look what happens to people like Rebecca Romijn when they take a maiden name, you know, they have a married name, and then they have to change it back when they get divorced.
Now, I was going
to
say, this is only going to last 3 or 4 months. Don't worry about it. And I'm sorry, what was her mom's first and last name?
Kris Jenner?
Oh, huh.
Yeah, she took her husband's name. Exactly, huh. Yeah. But she also wasn't famous either. And I think that's true. What she's saying is they've got a television brand name in Kardashian. So, I don't know. This is a little bit of a surprise to me. I figured she'd still be known as Kim Kardashian, even if she was married and legally she had a different name.
Yeah, I would think so, too, just for show business reasons. Rose Huntington Whiteley.
Yes.
Whitley Whiteley. What is it?
Yes.
She is
Whiteley, isn't it?
She's replacing Megan Fox in the next Transformers movie, and I think it's a fine choice. It's called Transformers Dark of the Moon. And, of course, she's a Victoria's Secret model. She's been She's been complaining a lot. She complained to Elle Magazine that every time she goes to get work done on her face, like a facial or something else like that, the dermatologists always want to inject her.
Oh.
I want to inject
Botox.
Her.
No, with Botox. Botox, Bean. Unless that's what happens with you. And she's like, no, you know, I'm good. I'm young enough now. And I'm saying the same thing. Take it easy. There's going to come a time when she'll want it. Right. You don't need to start now.
No.
She still looks way good right now.
By the way, there's nothing wrong with her.
No.
But she's still not as hot as Megan Fox. Let's not fool ourselves into thinking this was an upgrade in that position, all right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Really?
Yeah.
You think she's close to Megan Fox?
Yeah, I think. I could be
Lisa,
wrong.
Lisa, what do you think, Lisa?
I think Megan Fox might be a little prettier, but... if there's some acting involved,
no, take it easy.
No,
it's a Transformers movie.
Who knows?
Bean wasn't talking about acting. I wasn't. You know, I think further research is needed on that, Bean. I think I need to do a side by side comparison of 5,000 pictures.
Okay,
Megan Fox got a little skinny too, don't you think?
Yeah, but so's Hollywood starlots are way
all
skinny.
All the good ones are. Yeah. All right, speaking of hot chicks, a couple of them celebrating birthdays today. The beautiful Alanis Morissette is 37 now. She was God in the Kevin Smith movie Dogma, don't you know? Also, Heidi Klum, model and actress, is 38 years old today. Ron Wood, guitarist for the Rolling Stones, turned 64. Morgan Freeman, Academy Award-winning actor, is 74. And that is your showbiz. Our friend Rob Corddry from Children's Hospital next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. In just a few minutes, we'll be talking to Flavor Flav. Talk about a treat. Reminds me, speaking of treats, Adam Carolla on the line every Wednesday this week in Rage. Hey, Ace Man, have you ever had the chance to interview Flavor Flav? I don't believe we've ever spoken with him before.
Well, that's a redundant booking because Rob Corddry and Flavor Flav are the same dude.
That's a good point.
It's too much of the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty redundant.
So no? Is that a no for you?
Rob Corddry. I'm going to say yes, just so I don't offend him if he's listening.
All right, good.
Okay, that's fine. Well, we're looking forward to talking to him and tell you how you can meet Flavor Flav tonight. He's at an event. How did your thing go with Bill Simmons and Jimmy Kimmel the other night? We haven't talked to you since the big show at the Wiltern. Was that cool?
Oh, great. Thanks to you guys. Sold out.
Wow, fantastic.
Wiltern. Yeah, it was great. And, you know, I've lived in Los Angeles my whole life, and I've driven past that place a million times, and I used to do earthquake rehab and drive past it and see, oh, man, Tom Petty's playing there, the Traveling Wilburys are playing there, and Talking Heads are playing there. And it was always like, man, one day to see my name up on that marquee. And Jimmy took a picture, being, you know how thoughtful Jimmy is.
He's very thoughtful, yeah.
Yeah. Right? He giveth and then he taketh away. But the point is he giveth this night. And he took a picture, a beautiful picture of my name on top of the marquee. And it was big and beautiful, and he blew it up, and he gave it to me. And he already had it, you know, put up, framed and everything.
Sweet.
So I can hang it on my wall. And there is my name, May 21st, Adam Carolla, and underneath it, June 18th, right underneath my name, is a band called Spongle, S-H-P-O-N-G-L-E.
Okay.
And then, then on the 21st, there's Panic at the Disco, which at least I've heard of.
Right.
And then underneath that is a band called Okkervil River.
Sweet.
That's two K's. And then the 26th is Sleep. So it's awesome. There's my name up on the marquee, and then nine bands I've never heard of underneath
So you've made it.
Yeah. Let the history books be written. And let it be told that I was up on the top of the marquee with a bunch of other bands that no one's
ever sure
heard.
That Jimmy took that with that in mind.
Yes, absolutely.
Make sure the other bands are on there or not heard of.
But you that's awesome. You can see Adam Carolla on stage tomorrow night. Look for his name out in front of the House of Blues San Diego. Saturday, he'll be at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco. And then Sunday, June 5th, that's this coming Sunday, the Irvine Improv with special guest Christopher Titus. Hey, it is Wednesday. That
Hold
means
on,
it's time
B,
for...
Hold yes, on. Yes. I'm saying. Elvis Costello was there the week before. Kimmel
right.
couldn't have got a shot. Elvis
no.
Costello up there,
Look,
too?
Just he was
there.
Just trying to be thoughtful, man. This sounds like you're spitting in his face.
Well, what the hell's a spangle?
Well, it's not his fault. It's not
you. Guys play spangle?
It'd be really funny if Jimmy had them change
spangle?
Around the sign, like they took down the real names and put up fake names.
Spangle.
I wouldn't put it past them. All right.
You know, it's something from Germany that drives your car really fast that a guy advertises at the car show. It's
yeah.
not quite a chamois. It's a spangle.
Maybe so.
All right, it's time for This Week in Rage with Adam Carolla.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Oh, starting at three and working my way. Well, number three, spangle.
Sure,
what
of course.
Hell?
Yeah.
You want to share the marquee with Spangle? all right. And by the way, as the years wear on, they're going to be bigger only to the presidents of the United States of America. Where was I? Number three, going down to number one, Candyland the movie's coming out.
Candyland the movie.
Candyland the movie. And I thought, geez, this is insane. Are we officially out of ideas? Remember when people would write movies like, hey, it's on the waterfront. This guy was a boxer, but he's washed up. Now it's like we just look in our closet and go, what do we got here? Electronic battleship. All right. I got some ideas. Don't spill the beans. We're just out of ideas. And
yes.
If you think about it, I mean, as much as people even like the Hangover 2s and all the 2s and the follow-ups and the Part 3s and all the X-Men 5s and all that kind of stuff, even that's sort of a cop-out, just the 2 in the genre. I mean, in terms of artistically just doing the same movie, I've not seen The Hangover 2. Everyone just says, well, it's exactly the same as The Hangover 1. It's
which
just,
was funny.
Which is funny.
Yeah.
But isn't it sort of killing creativity and sort of flying in the face of creativity just to go, hey, let me just see what's in my hall closet. What do we got in there? Umbrella, the movie. Just because you've heard of it doesn't mean it's a good idea. And,
yeah.
You know, you think I'm kidding about Battleship. Oh, no. I talked to Pete Berg. I talked to him. He was on a boat, literally on a boat. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm writing Battleship, the movie. So goddamn sad. All right. Number two. My son came home from the mall the other day and was rocking himself a mani and a pedi. He had the fingernail polish and the toenail polish.
Sweet.
How old is your son now, Ace?
Oh, he's in the 3 to 9 range.
You mean the 3 to 9? You don't have anything more specific than that?
Well, listen, get used to it because, you know, your whole life when you're buying clothes or child seats or whatever, they give you a range.
All right, so he's 3 to 9.
Yeah, they don't give a birth date and go, hey, I had to be born on this day. They give a range.
Okay.
You should start looking at your kids in that range.
I like it.
You know? What, the aforementioned board games for kids, 4 to 7 years old.
All right.
True. He's in there.
All right, so he's 3 to 9. He's got a mani and a pedi.
He got a mani and a pedi, and not the classy clear one like the black jocks wear either. I'm talking about blue, royal blue.
Sweet.
Wow. Polish. And so I was like, what the F's going on? And my wife shushed me. She said, do not shame the boy. And I said, oh, yes, there will be shaming. There will be shaming aplenty.
If I know your wife, she did that because she knew you would hate it.
It's a decent point. What percentage of the day's activity that the wife encounters is stuff to bug us
yeah.
and stuff to waste our money and then stuff that actually does something. But, yeah, I hated it. I said, no. She said, do not shame the boy. I said, oh, yes, he shall be shamed. And this whole thing of like, no, don't make him feel bad. Yes, I want to make him feel bad. He's still wearing this. I had to drag the kid with me to the mechanic the other day. I saw the mechanic eyeballing this guy's fingernails while he was cleaning transmission fluid out of his fingernails.
Right.
And now you have to explain it wasn't you, it was the wife. And then I think about when you get the mani-pedi, they give you these disposable flip-flops, those weird fold-over flip-flops.
Right.
Tammy, you know what I'm talking about?
I do, yeah.
It's Lisa, but yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I answer to anything.
Yeah.
The point is, first off, one of the reasons the world hates us is we have disposable shoes to wear home from getting pedicures that we just throw away. By the way, they would have fistfights over these shoes and wear them for 3 or 4 years until they wore them out, and then they would mend them and continue wearing them for another 2 years. We just toss them. You send your aunt over in a shipping container. She does my kid's toenails. You give us temporary shoes. You guys will start a war over, and we toss them in the garbage when we get home. That's why they hate our guts.
Yeah.
And number one, I got a new gay slang thing going here.
A new gay slang?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Well, now, we all know that you can't use the F word when you're talking about the gays
right,
anymore.
That's become unacceptable, yes.
Unacceptable. Unfortunately, when we took that out, we also took out a very good one, which is the F hag.
Right,
the woman that hangs around the gays.
Okay.
It's the F hag. Much like the passion fruit iced tea not only killed the iced tea, but it killed the Arnold Palmer as well.
I see, okay.
It's collateral damage.
All right.
See, people, next time we decide a word is on the no-fly list, let's sit down and talk about it, because we didn't think about this whole F-hag thing.
True.
That would have been a different vote, right?
So how do you now refer to the F-hag?
Fruit flies.
I like it.
Oh, fruit flies.
Just
yeah.
Buzzing around. You know what I'm saying?
I knew you'd have an answer.
She showed up at the bar with a couple fruit flies.
Lisa, you've got a bunch of gay friends. Will you run that up the flagpole this weekend and see how they like it?
Well, since I would be considered an F-hag, like the fruit fly.
You'd like fruit fly better.
I liked that name.
All right.
I can live with that.
All right.
You've just been upgraded, baby.
Thank you.
Everyone's happier with that.
All right, I think that we've accomplished something great here today. Thanks to Adam Carolla. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
House of Blues tomorrow night, Saturday in San Francisco, Sunday in Irvine. Go to adamcarolla.com for all the details. We'll talk to you soon, man. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Big, big week for Pearl Jam fans. As you know, the band is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. Lots of special things planned, but they're taking a little bit of a timeout right now for Eddie Vedder's solo album, just in stores this week. And Mr. Vedder joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Eddie. How are you, man?
Hey, man. How are you?
Yeah, good. We're huge fans, have been for a long time. Congratulations on the new record called Ukulele Songs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm trying to be excited about the new record, but, you know.
If you don't mind, just speak up a little bit. It's hard to hear.
I don't want to blow up my voice, you know, by being too loud, but all I can think about is Western imperialism destroying African culture. And, you know, if you guys can be happy this early in the morning when there's children being murdered for blood diamonds.
Oh, my God.
That's
sort
of a bummer, Eddie. Wow.
All right, yeah.
We thought this was a, you know, celebration of rock and roll and your newfound love for the instrument, the ukulele. We thought this would be a joyous occasion.
You have a ukulele with you, right?
I know. I'm very excited about the album. I'm very happy right now.
Okay.
I've never felt like I've been in a better place, but I have to remind you that there's millions of orphans in the Balkans, and they'll probably all die of disease by the end of the day.
Okay. Eddie, could you just one time just be happy when we talk to you? Just go, wow, the sun is shining.
Oh,
I'm surfing later on today, and life is good?
Sure. Just focus on everything that's happy in your life as you live this decadent lifestyle here
okay.
in the West.
All right. How about if we hear some – how about if we go through the CD? How about if we hear some songs?
You want me to play a song?
You have the ukulele
this is
there.
The first single off the album.
Okay, good.
It's called Sunshiny Sunday.
Sunshiny Sunday.
Here we go.
Ukulele Songs, the name of the new one from Eddie Vedder, available for download now. Sunshiny Sunday.
2, 3, 4. When do the lyrics start? What happened?
Were those lyrics?
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I really gave it to you on that one.
You did. Really, it sounded a little low, like we couldn't understand exactly what words you were
saying. I could go as far as to say it's on and cracking this morning.
Okay.
All right. It certainly is. All right. Well, maybe that's not the the ideal song to spotlight for our audience. Do you have something else, Eddie, from Ukulele Songs that might be, I don't know, a little peppier for people?
This is called Puppy Dogs and Chicken Soup. Okay.
Puppy Dogs, three, four.
Soup.
Two very good things. Oh, it sounds a lot like the last one.
Totally different.
We can't.
Why aren't you singing?
Eddie, we can't understand you.
Why aren't you singing words?
Eddie. Is this just so you don't have to put on a lyric sheet?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, there wasn't anything about puppy dogs or chicken soup in that song.
Above and beyond a songwriter, I consider myself a lyricist and a poet, and so for you to insult my lyrics like that.
Okay, we apologize. Let's try another one.
All right, we really only have time for one more song, so really just make this good for us, would you, Eddie?
Let's remember, though, before we get too ahead of ourselves, there's a civil war in Sri Lanka that's still... Okay, we're sufficiently
bummed out. Now you can cheer us up with some happy ukulele music. What's this song?
What's the happiest song you have on the album?
The happiest song I have on the album is this one, and I'm gonna end with this. This is called 40 Children Will Die Today of Starvation in Chile.
That's not happy.
That is not
two,
the happy.
Three, four.
Well, it's the same. You're playing the same song,
totally
Eddie.
Totally different key. Totally different chord progression. Different totally different. Chord. Here we go. And don't make me sing. Here we go.
Okay. All right. Okay, Eddie.
Well, look. We got to go, but we're happy. Did he sing something there? Their word?
It sounded like there might have been, but I didn't understand it.
I don't want to interrupt.
It's Ukulele Songs. Knew Eddie better. All right, Eddie, listen, we got to go.
What a treat to have you stop by here. You're a real legend. Thank you for the time. All right, you're done now. You can...
We've heard enough of that song.
You can stop, actually, Eddie. It's fine.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and quit. That'd be all right with us. So.
Eddie Vedder, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
Let's give it up for Eddie Vedder as he exits the studio. See you later, Eddie. Okay, bye-bye.
Did you say who let the dogs out?
Look, you can argue about a lot of things in music. No one can argue that the greatest hype man in the history of rock and roll is Flavor Flav, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Flav, how are you, man?
Hey, yo, let me tell you something. I don't care what nobody say, but out of all radio stations that I've ever been on in my life, including the ones that I was on in New York, that was the best promo tape of Flavor Flav I ever heard.
There you go. That was your intro. We made that just for you.
Wow. Thanks. Amazing. Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
How are you, man?
We're great. It's such a thrill to talk to you, Flav. Flavor Flav, the icon, the memoir is out, available in stores now. We've all heard the stories. Now it's time to hear them from the man himself. Why'd you decide now's the time to write the book, Flav?
Well, now I decided to write the book, man, because, you know, I mean, I got a few business ventures going on right now, and not only that, but, you know, life ain't promised to us, man, you know what I mean? I mean, the only promise that we have in life is death, and it's a promise that one day in life we gonna die. So I said, well, while I'm alive, man, and while I got the strength to, man, you know, I guess, you know, people really want to hear from Flav now, so let me put a book out and let me see what it does.
People have always wanted to hear from Flav, just for the record.
Yeah. People been wanting me to write a book, man, for years and years, but I just wouldn't do it because I felt I didn't have enough to write about.
Well, you sure do now. Now, Flav, it seems like you're in a great place in your life. It seems like you got a lot of good things going on. Seems like you're happy, but man, have there been some dark times for you. I guess I didn't realize until I saw it all put on one piece of paper that you have really had some ups and downs in your personal life and your career.
Yeah, definitely. definitely, man. I mean, you know, with ups, we're going to always have downs, too, you know. That's the thing we call balance, you know what I'm saying, and the whole nine. And I ain't going to lie, but, you know, my thing today and my advice to people today when you're going through downs is all you got to do is get through the now and things will be greater later.
Sweet.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the thing, man, that I had to teach myself. It was kind of hard getting through it, but, hey, God gave me the strength to get through it. And here I am on the phone with you guys able to tell about it today.
Now, you did have some rough times with drugs in the 90s, and I wanted to know, did you have to, how much of it did you remember accurately, or did you have to get other people's input?
Nah, man, I just told you guys as much as I could remember. And, you know, usually when you go through things for the first time ever in your life, you don't forget them. You know, so for the first time ever in my life, me being a drug addict and everything, you know what I'm saying? I and boy, did I have some drug stories to tell you.
I'm sure.
But the main story that I really wanted to tell you guys is about the mistake that I made experimenting with drugs in the first place. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, I'm glad that I lived through it because now I'm able to teach about it. And, you know, and hopefully people don't make the same mistakes.
Do you wish you had never tried hard drugs?
Yeah, I wish I didn't. And the reason why is because through hard drugs, I lost a lot of property. I even lost my family. I've been separated from my kids. I mean, hey, listen, man, it's not a pretty picture, man, when the things that you love most in life, you don't get to have all because it's through the substances.
Yeah.
That's a powerful message. Flavor Flav on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about his book called Flavor Flav, The Icon, The Memoir. Hey, let me get some stats straight in my mind here, Flavor Flav. How many kids you have?
I have 7 children.
How many baby mamas?
3.
And how old were you when you became a grandfather?
Let me see. That was like let me see. Brianna will be 7, so 7 years ago. How was I 7 years ago? Let me see. I don't know, about 45.
Did one of the grandkids ever go, why does Grandpa have a gold grill? Why does he wear a clock?
I'll have what?
A golden grill or wear a clock around his neck. I mean,
does it ever confuse the grandchildren is what Kevin's
you're
asking.
Not a typical grandfather.
Children are used to seeing me the way that I am. Seeing me on TV, so when they see me in person,
I got you.
New to them.
What's the status of Public Enemy right now, Flava Flav, one of the most influential and well-loved bands of all time? Where are you guys at right now?
Well, right now we're touring and everything. We're getting ready to go back overseas. We're going to Germany. We're going to do Italy. We're doing France.
Wow.
UK, Brazil, and then back.
Do you ever think I'm really tired of wearing a clock around my neck?
Nah, man.
You don't.
I never get tired of my clock. I believe that. But now being that Public Enemy has been together for 25 years, and I really feel that this is going to go down once we do get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The clock that I wear around my neck will be going to the Rock and Roll
Hall. There you go.
Yeah. Right. Be in a museum forever. Are you at all surprised that the fans have remained true to Public Enemy after more than 25 years? I mean, did you expect it would last as long as it has?
Yeah, man. I'm surprised that we still have some diehard fans out there, you know, and I'm real grateful. I'm real grateful to them, you know what I mean? So I'm not going to say no, I'm not surprised. Yes, I am surprised because not too many groups from my era is still moving around like we are.
No question. All right, the great Flava Flav on the phone with the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk about the last time you reinvented yourself when you went on and became a huge VH1 reality show with the Flavor of Love shows. Now, you did 3 different shows where you had 25 women all after you, right?
Yeah.
How much love did you ever find on that show? Was there ever anyone that you went out with for any length of time?
Well, honestly, I found a lot of love on that show, you know what I mean, in the whole...
No, sex. No. You've had a lot of sex on the show.
Yeah, it's just that I couldn't really be serious with it because, you know, I have my girl back in Vegas, you know what I'm saying, that I was in love with. So once you guys read the book, once y'all read Flavor Flav, the Icon, the memoirs, I tell that story inside the book.
All right.
Well.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Because, I mean, you know, the book isn't thick at all. It's a quick read. You know,
that's good. That's what I need.
And bases on a lot of things, and definitely that's one of the things that I do touch base on.
All right. Well, there's so many questions I'm sure you will answer. The book is available now called Flavor Flav, The Icon, The Memoir, and you can meet the Flav tonight. You're going to be appearing at the Grammy Museum in downtown L.A. at the Clive Davis Theater. This sounds like a cool event. You can get tickets for just $20 at Ticketmaster, and you basically are going to be interviewed and telling a lot of the stories firsthand. People can see you up close. Is that right, Flav?
Yes, definitely. And not only that, I'm looking forward to this, because this is my first book signing ever. Wow.
How about that? Well, we're glad you're healthy and happy. Congratulations and everything, Flav. You're always welcome on the Kevin Amin Show, man. Come back anytime.
Thank you, guys, and thank you for having me, man. I always have a good time with you guys, man. You hold it down.
Flavor Flav, thanks.
Peace.
Bye.
Rob was on vacation this week. We're taking turns filling in on the Showbiz Beat. And this hour, it's producer Alex's turn. By the way, you've got quite the fan club out there, Alex.
What?
People are complaining that you don't have your own Twitter. You don't have your own Facebook. They want to, I think they want to figure out a way to ask you out. That's what they're looking for.
No, I'm like the Wizard of Oz. It's like I'm the man behind the curtain.
I'll tweet for her.
Yeah. Sadly, this is a Vicodin-free Showbiz Beat, guys.
Oh, that was
I know
so
I'm
much
off,
more fun.
I'm off the bike. I don't really remember a lot of yesterday. Apparently, I was on the air.
It was
know.
Good. Yeah.
Good times. All right. First up, Coachella. I know we just wrapped Coachella. It's kind of strange to start talking about it, but they're already putting tickets on sale. All right, everybody. But this year's going to be different than, excuse me, next year's going to be different than this year because why have one weekend when you can have two back to back?
So last year.
Yeah!
I should say this year, this past April,
right.
They had the Big Four.
3 days.
The weekend following
mm-hmm.
Coachella. Now they're going to have Coachella the weekend following Coachella.
Correct.
Okay.
So April 13th through the 15th of 2012, and then April 20th through the 22nd. Who is putting Kevin in the death pool?
Oh, how dare you.
I am not confident that after that weekend it's going to be the Kevin and Bean Show.
No, but here's the deal about that, is that they're doing the exact same lineup. So you don't have to go to both.
Right. You don't have to, but
I
know you will, party
but
boy.
But I'm saying you don't have to.
So, yeah, they're going to have the exact same lineup both weekends.
That's so weird.
Which is crazy. This past year, they had Arcade Fire and Kanye West, and they have hundreds and hundreds of bands. And we know from even doing, like, a Weenie Roast or Acoustic Christmas, wrangling eight bands for one night in the same place is hard enough.
Not easy, yeah.
To wrangle 500 over 3 days, and then, okay, everybody stay here. You stay in Indio, California, the hot spot where all bands want to hang out for 7 days and then play again.
See, that's their wish list to me. That's what they would like to happen.
Right.
But there's some big acts, I think, that are just not going
to
do it.
I don't think they have to stay, though. I mean, it's not like they're staying in Tent City, the bands.
I don't
they
know.
Can go wherever they want as long as they get back.
So passes go on sale this Friday, June 3rd. You can start the layaway plan. Like my mom used to do at Kmart. I remember that back
sure.
in the day. Layaway. 3 day passes remain at $269 plus fees. Last
Which
year,
turned out to be $269 as well. That's weird. It doubles.
Plus, I know. Plus the fees. According to the LA Times, this past year they had 75,000 people per day.
Wow.
Which means if they pull off the exact same amount of people for both weekends, they'll have just under 500,000 people. It came out to India, which is bananas to
All
me.
Right.
That's crazy. So good times, everybody. Get your layaway on. All right. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news because I know you love hot chicks and chicks who take photos of themselves on their iPhone.
Be the bearer of bad news then.
Don't even say it.
Look,
don't even say what you're about to say, Alex.
I love Blake Lively. She's on my list. If I switch teams, I love her. She's in my top three. Allegedly, there are naked pictures of Blake Lively online.
I've seen
not
them.
Not allegedly.
Snapping photos of herself on an iPhone, as girls do. Naughty girls.
Yes.
Stop
in the mirror.
It. Stop it. Don't do it.
No, don't stop it. Keep doing it.
Don't
and
hear the
this,
stop
and
it.
This person who allegedly is Blake Lively has a,
is,
great, has a great
is Blake Lively.
Has a great ass, by the way.
Yes. Yes, she does.
I'm just saying, I want that butt. And you see everything. There's
yes.
nothing left to the imagination. You even see her face, her alleged Blake Lively face.
So why are you being negative?
Because I'm on Team Lively, and she has released a statement.
I am also on Team Lively.
Saying these are not
I'd like
her.
To be
it's a
on.
Different team, you guys.
They are fakes.
Describe on.
They are fakes. The
what?
Photo-
All right.
Yes.
So now she's not only a whore, she's a lying whore.
Correct. According to Celeb Buzz, Celeb Buzz got the scoop from Blake Lively's rep. They say the photos of Blake Lively, which have just surfaced on various websites, including Paris Hilton and Zaptua.com, are 100% fake. They wrote it in caps. They mean business.
So okay. They yell when they're writing caps.
She says, Blake has never taken nude photos of herself, allegedly. Blake will pursue legal action against the publications which initially published these photographs and any other outlets that continue to republish them.
I think there's only one way for us to make up our own minds, and that's for her to take a naked photo and put it out.
So
and
we
then
can compare.
We can A-B it. Yeah.
It's pretty good if it's allegedly.
Yes,
Blake
it is.
Lively.
And by the way, nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Not unless you just meant to send those to Leonardo DiCaprio and you hit send all.
Send all.
Which is a mistake.
Isn't there always somebody out there who's a Photoshop expert who can analyze the photo in the lab and determine whether it's real or not?
Yeah, I mean, this happened to Emma Watson, I want to say about a year or two ago, and she and she had to fight them. And then, you know, all the Photoshop experts came out and said, no, it's clearly been Photoshop. But there's been no issue of Photoshop here. They're just arguing that it's not her.
What usually happens, like with the famous Katy Perry topless shot last year, what usually happens is somebody will do the research and will find the original parts of original photos that were put together to make that Photoshop one. So maybe there's somebody in the lab right now.
They'll find the matching picture somewhere else.
Exactly. Exactly. But I don't want to hear that heresy from you, Alex.
Sorry.
Seriously. Why can't you just be happy?
This is Alex coming in going,
yeah, the president says we got Osama bin Laden, but maybe we didn't. This
How
is her just
you.
Pooping all over potentially great news. That's Whatever. What's happening here.
All right, well, in more hot lady news, your girl January Jones Bean.
Yes.
Who's all knocked up.
Uh-huh.
So she got knocked up. She stars on Mad Men, for those of you that don't know. She's beautiful blonde.
She's Betty Draper.
Yeah, and she used to be with Jason Sudeikis from Saturday Night Live for a very long time, and then they just broke up, and then she came out and said, oh, I'm pregnant.
Right.
Jason Sudeikis said, nope, not mine. And this, and they've only been broken up like a couple months. So everybody's been trying to do the math, and she's been very secretive about who the father is. So initially people thought, oh, this must be someone who isn't famous. She's
it's
trying
me.
To
Let's
protect...
Just say it.
His identity. And then they started to do the math and realize, oh, she was on the X-Men first class set when she got knocked up. So who could it be? James McAvoy, married. Nope, he's cleared. Michael Fassbender, single. They thought it was him. Nope. Turns out, congratulations, it's Matthew Vaughn. Oh, yay, director.
You're right.
Matthew Vaughn. Except he's married to Claudia Schiffer, and they have three babies.
That's a little problem.
Yeah, so, and this comes from two news sources, E! News and Tyler Durden. And so that's why she was keeping her mouth shut, because she slept with a married man and is now having his baby, which always turns out well. Ladies,
it does. That's,
I always recommend that.
That's the recipe
for
success.
And I think the takeaway here is, if somebody will cheat on Claudia Schiffer, ladies, then you should just give up on anyone being faithful to you, okay?
Well, and they were saying the first side of this coming out was they had the huge premiere, and he did not show up. The director did not show up to his own movie. He also directed Kick-Ass, which a lot of people in our audience might know. He's a great director and producer, just can't keep his penis in his pants. It's a little problem.
Allegedly.
In his defense, she's January Jones, though.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really guys.
She's good looking.
No, it's just guys that can't. They're not to be. They can't control themselves around her.
Ever? Even with a ring and three kids?
It's science.
It's.
Today we're out finding out what type of holes people prefer.
Wonderful. All right. Happy birthday to Morgan Freeman, my girl Heidi Klum, and Alanis Morissette. I am Alex. That is your Showbiz Beat.
I'd like to tell you about a little place called Children's.
Children's.
Children's. Porno.
What?
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I thought that's where this was going.
It's called Children's Hospital.
Describe Children's Hospital
in a nutshell.
It's a TV medical drama.
That show doesn't look like what you described at all.
There's nothing here, no story, no sense of continuity.
I knew this day would come.
Interchangeable characters. Mostly a lot of bathroom jokes.
Damn! ER is full of Jewish kids with both ends diarrhea.
This show
is good.
No,
it's gooder. It's hilarious.
It's also pretty racist.
Chewy McJuju!
Gang Green, better than gang Mexican.
How's the sex?
Sex.
Amazing.
Sex. I am full moon horny tonight.
I want you to get me mouth pregnant.
Too much talk. Not enough action.
Are you stupid for a living? Today we're going to go over a great self-defense strategy. Pooping yourself.
I'll volunteer.
Aren't you supposed to be dying? When do you think that's going to happen?
Children's Hospital.
There you go.
All right, you're done, Rob Corddry. Thanks for coming in, man.
Wow, that sounds like a great show. That's the only trailer that might work better on radio than it does anywhere else.
You should see it. Oh, wait, you created it. Children's Hospital is out on DVD, the first and second seasons in one package, by the way. And it debuts with season three. That's going to be tomorrow night at midnight on Adult Swim. Welcome back, Rob Courtney.
Hey.
How are you, man?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Couldn't love this show more.
Couldn't love it more, and I keep being surprised that it stays on the air, because usually things I love this much are pulled. They usually cancel them if they're this good.
Yeah, when David Wayne was asked the other night, they were like, why do you keep doing this show? And he's like, it keeps getting renewed. Like, it's the only thing I've done that they let me keep doing.
But you have people like Henry Winkler and Malin Ackerman and a bunch of different people that are pretty big stars, and you use them in this show.
Yeah, how about that?
What's happening?
I don't know what's happening. Let's not jinx it.
How different is the show we see today on Adult Swim to the way you originally started doing it for the internet? I mean, you have a lot of new characters since you originally started, I guess. But did it survive in tone to the television the way you envisioned it when it was just a small internet audience?
Yeah. It's the same show. I mean, I didn't want to do it. I kept saying, I probably said it on this show, that I didn't want to do this on TV after the internet, because I didn't think like this kind of humor, this kind of like joke per minute humor, would last or sustain itself longer than 5 minutes. But then when I found out there was a 15-minute format,
yeah,
then I think that's about our ceiling.
That's,
you know what I mean?
So funny, because you don't see any 15-minute shows that I'm aware of anywhere.
No, there was
except for yours.
Tenacious D had that thing on HBO that was 15 minutes, and that was kind of the same Tony, right? And then
you got a Tony for this?
We got a Tony. We got a BAFTA and an ACE
Award.
So it's
15 minutes long, no commercials, and you don't interrupt it with commercials, right?
No, okay. Hell no. What's the point? We're not trying to sell you anything,
you could
people.
You sell like 10 minutes of commercials. You only have to put in 5 minutes.
Yeah, we don't, no.
Is it buried deep enough on Adult Swim that you can get away with being so racist and not raise the ire of the various
racist
groups that the groups that are usually out there picketing in front of every television station that says something they don't like? You've managed to avoid most of that.
Well, first of all, I think everything on Adult Swim is buried by virtue of
being
on Adult Swim. The second thing is,
even within Adult Swim, though, your show's kind of buried.
Right, exactly. But maybe this is giving these idiots too much credit, that they just, you watch it for 30 seconds and you know this is so stupid,
cartoonishly
can
over the
be
top.
Nothing hateful, or
you're giving them too much credit.
Maybe I am, but we
say, usually don't care. Yeah.
We say those words, but you know our intent is so obvious. Maybe
I agree, and that's what most normal people think. But that doesn't stop usually the complainers.
Rob, bastards. Did I ever miss the backstory on why your character in Clownface has so much blood on him, or is that just one of the unexplained great things about Children's Hospital?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, it is unexplained and great. I'll agree with you there.
Just for those of you that don't watch the show, he does wear clown makeup, and he wears one of those white lab coats that's completely covered with blood.
Yeah, he looks like he's just come out of a MASH unit on the battlefield.
Yes. Right, and it's as if I just wiped my bloody hands down my chest.
Right.
And, well,
and
that
there's
is
no explanation.
The explanation is the subtext, if I may be so bold, is that this is his clown costume.
This
is
part of it?
Yeah, the blood is. There's one moment in the web series where during a previously on Children's Hospital, you see me dipping my hands into fake blood and putting the blood on in the morning.
Oh, okay. A little backstory here.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just my costume.
Does he have a Gacy fetish or something? Or, I mean, where does it come from?
It's Gacy-esque, the makeup, for sure. It is actually John Wayne Gacy's makeup, except we put cute little eyebrows on.
Sure.
Changes the whole thing to just barely creepy.
How many episodes in season three that debuts tomorrow night on Adult Swim?
14 episodes.
All right.
Lots
that's
of
that's good, because
nudity.
In the past it's been like a couple. Like you have like three episodes.
We
and you go, that's it.
10 the first season,
right.
But that was 5 minutes. So yeah, it goes by quickly. And then we had 12, right? 12. And now we're doing 14.
All right.
Good times. All right. We got to take a break. Rob Corddry is here talking about Children's Hospital. Also, Rob is a professional Photoshop expert, and we will dissect and digest the Blake Lively nude photos with Rob when we get back.
Because I have a lot to say.
I know you do. We'll return right after this at the Kevin DeBee. Rob Corddry back with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, great that you're here today, Rob, to talk about Children's Hospital. You know, we had Flava Flav on right before you. And coming up right after you is we have the founder of the Northern Los Angeles Beard and Mustache Club. So I think you can tell it's a big day on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, good company.
Huh? Did you know that? Did you know
that shoved in the middle of those two for some reason?
Did you know that bearding is the world's hottest new sport? Are you aware that growing a beard now is considered a sport with actual competition?
You guys,
there's a show on TV called Whisker Wars.
This is going to be yet. Great radio.
We're looking forward to it. All right, listen, as much as we love Children's Hospital, let's talk about what's really important right now, which is the Blake Lively photos. Now, producer Alex, who I hate, says...
Wait, you always say you love her.
Until she came in and said that these Blake Lively photos are photoshopped, and now she's the enemy.
I see.
But you're an expert, Rob. You're in show business. You've been around. You've taken a look at the photos. You've been willing to do that for us. And by the way, don't let it be said that Rob doesn't step up and help his brethren, because we asked him, would you look at these naked photos and tell us what you think? And he was willing to do it compensation.
I'd rather not, but okay, if you guys would like me.
I'll look at them. And I looked at them. And
what do you
studied
think?
Them. Hold on.
Hang on. How about
that? Let me get them in my hand. Right, let me get them in my hand. I get to look them again. She's
Photoshop.
Gained a little weight since I had sex with her.
She's perfect.
She's perfect.
Those.
I mean, whoever this woman is, God bless her.
Yeah, even if it's not her, wouldn't you say it is?
Who cares? I'm just glad this exists.
I am too, but is it photoshopped? Look, I will enjoy it more if it's real than if it's photoshopped, even if the picture is identical. You
I get
know what
that.
I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Now, look, I'd say this is real because it's very... Now, the story is she came out and said these are fake, right?
Yes, 100% fake.
Yeah, which means her publicist made that statement, and her publicist said they were fake.
Probably, yes.
Because there's a camera obscuring about three-quarters of her face. So it's very easy for a publicist to say that, you know? But I don't see any... I mean, you know, if you look at the very important neck... That's where the neck is where the money is in terms of
Photoshop. They take a hot chick's body and they usually put the star's face on it, right?
Exactly.
That's the standard operating procedure.
But if you're going to do that,
I
the argument
think that's
of
where you're
is,
going with the neck is where the money is.
The neck. There's money all over this, all over these photos. God, you know, the mirror in the background is just so artfully placed.
It is.
I love that.
Yeah.
Now, who is she texting these to? What's the word?
Know.
Now, guys, who is she attached to these
Leo.
Days?
Oh, Leo.
Leo is... Yeah. Oh. That makes it... Well, you
does
know
it,
what? That makes it more unbelievable then, doesn't it? Like, if she's...
But we don't know
she if... Oh, these might be old.
Yeah, these might be old.
Okay.
And by the way, how frustrating is it for a guy like you who has equal the movie star good looks of Leonardo DiCaprio, yet he's got Blake Lively and
you're
married with a bunch of kids? What's that about?
Kidding. My wife, by the way, destroys Blake Lively
in
terms
of
ass.
We wouldn't know that unless we saw the same photos. Can you take those home and have her pose in the same way?
I'll see what I have.
Okay,
I'll see what I have for you guys on the break, the next break.
All right, now how many photos are in the pages that you have in front of you? How many pictures are you looking
these
at?
These are four?
We only have four.
Or is there three?
Okay.
Because two of them look the same. Oh, no, these are four.
Okay,
four.
There is a fifth photo, and in the fifth photo, you can see all of her face. And she's holding up the same phone. But what's odd, and some people have pointed this out to me in the email as we've dissected this, what's odd is that in that one, the phone is still plugged in. It's still attached to the charger. In other words, the cord is still coming off the phone. But it looks like, you know, looks like same person, same phone.
Hmm.
And I don't know if that helps
that
the case or not.
Does that mean she wasn't using it because it was plugged in?
No. Oh. Some people are suggesting how odd that is. You would take a picture with your phone still plugged into the wall.
Oh,
and they're maybe thinking that arm has been photoshopped in from somewhere else. Other people are saying in that photo you can see her face and it looks like it's part of the same set as the other one. So
Corddry
I don't know.
Says no. That's all I know is Corddry says.
Corddry says
I'm
no.
I'm sorry. I was staring at these pictures. I wasn't listening to what you guys were saying.
And he is the world tribunal when it comes
that's
to Photoshop nudies. So if he says no, I guess we should leave it at no. But
what kind of person uses this eye camera case to this iPhone case? It's kind of lame. I don't get this.
You might be looking at the wrong things.
I'm a real tech geek, guys. I'm a real gadget guy.
Do we have a copy of the photos for Rob to take home, or at least take out to the car for a few minutes?
Sure.
Oh, no, believe me. These will be on my computer within a half an hour. These are amazing.
All right.
We're almost out of time because we got to get to the hot bearding topic. But, Rob, new season starts tomorrow night, Children's Hospital Adult Swim. Can you can you tease us with anything that you're excited about in terms of plot lines or guests this season?
Oh, my God. Well, do you like Sarah Silverman?
Love her.
Yeah. Okay, only then, love.
She was in that trailer, wasn't she?
She was in that trailer, yeah.
What, are you dumb or something? She looks funny.
I'm going to punch you. Yeah. Uh-huh. She plays a clown, one of my ex-girlfriends.
All of your ex-girlfriends are clowns?
Well, yeah, oh, yeah, of course, because clowns usually only date within their species.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Okay. That's changing. You know, we have a whole episode about clown sort of racism and how clowns
clownism,
are...
Clownism.
Yeah, clownism and how, like, blacks and gays have it easy now, but clowns have it...
You should try being a clown.
There's actually a line. Here's a line that got cut from that trailer. A line that got cut, mysteriously cut from that trailer was, I say to Jordan Peele, one of the black doctors, I say, come on, blacks and gays have it easy now. And black gays? Forget about it. Look at Will Smith. Mysteriously cut from the trailer at the last minute.
Because he could have you crushed in Hollywood. You will never work again if you cross him.
Exactly.
Or you won't be invited on the spaceship when it comes to take him away. So one of those two things.
Well, I don't want to be on that spaceship.
Well, we're so happy that the show is on the air. I mean, it just makes us think that maybe television doesn't screw everything up, because Children's Hospital still exists. Adult Swim tomorrow night. New season kicks off at midnight on Adult Swim. Check it out, and be sure to pick up the complete first and second seasons in stores and available for download now of Children's Hospital. Rob, always great to see you, man. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, guys. Anytime. I love doing this show. Thanks for having me.
Too much show today. My head is just spinning. We got C-3PO coming up after the top of the hour. Actor Anthony Daniels from the Star Wars movie is going to be joining us, too.
I think Bean has a crush.
Yeah,
I love C-3PO. I just respect his work.
I love C-3PO.
Well, he's a robot. How can I not love him? He's my people. Yesterday, Kevin brought in some highlights of a show that doesn't even debut until, what did we say, August. I think, sometime. And it is called Whisker Wars. Here's a taste of what that show is going to be about.
Bearding is a sport, which is growing and cultivating and styling one's beard for the purpose of competing in a beard competition.
Yes, it is. That's what that is.
So we played that. We started talking about the show and how funny it was. And what are the chances that somebody would be listening who not only competed in what I guess is the finale of that reality show, which is the World Bearding and Mustache Championships in Norway, not only competed in that, but is a founder of the Northern Los Angeles Beard and Mustache Club. So John writes to us and says, hey, guys, what up? And we say to him, John Myatt, you must be on the Kevin Bean Show tomorrow. And here he is joining us on the phone right now. Hi, John. How are you?
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
How's your beard looking today? How's it feeling?
It's doing wonderful. A little scraggly. Just woke up, but it's all good.
So you founded the Northern L.A. Beard and Mustache Club. That was you said.
I did.
We need a chapter here.
Yeah, I went up to Bend, Oregon for the Nationals. Came back, and L.A. was misrepresented.
Right.
So I decided to start a club here in Los Angeles.
Now, is there already a Southern Los Angeles Beard and Mustache Club, and you're differentiating yourself from them?
No, we just kind of. I'm up in Burbank, and so. We just kind of took on Northern, and then it actually spread to Southern. Our vice president, who actually also won in his category in Worlds, he's in Santa Monica, so all our merchandise says North on it already.
Now, I'm a little bit worried about
They're going with all the merch. Yeah. They already put the T-shirts out.
I'm a little bit worried about spoiling what happens on Whisker Wars when it debuts, because isn't that show, if you understand correctly, John, isn't that show about the competition leading up to the big event in Norway that you participated in?
Kind of, yeah. I had a few interviews with them on the show.
Okay, but my fear is, should we not talk about what happened, or should we just accept
that? It's all out there. It's all on the web. You can see all the winners and watch videos.
Okay, so you flew all the way to Norway to compete in the World Beard and Mustache Competition,
yes,
right?
30 of us flew out with Beard Team USA to go and compete.
And how do you prepare for that beyond the obvious, which is just sleep and walk around and eat and watch TV? How do you prepare for that other than growing a beard?
In my category, there's styling aids, and you can use that. And
That's sad.
There's just grooming and stuff. But if you guys are all interested, we are actually throwing an LA competition in August.
Wait, don't get the idea that we're interested in being there.
Oh, you should.
No, I mean, come on, it's people with beards.
What was your style? What kind of beard did you go with? Because we found out from looking on the site yesterday for Whisker Wars that apparently there's just a tremendous amount of competition in lots of different categories. What was your specialty?
The Verdi. It's after Giuseppe Verdi, the composer.
Sure.
It's a short, rounded beard with styled mustache.
Okay.
And that sounds like a reasonable kind of beer that you can walk around with and not feel like a freak, as opposed to one of the guys who's got the, you know, the ZZ Top beard or something full time.
Well, there's a lot of ZZ Top beards, but then there's a lot of just freestyle people that only style it for the competitions, and they just have their daily beards and then style it up.
All right, John, I'm going to ask you a question right now that's going to determine whether we're going to be friends or enemies, okay?
Okay.
Do you agree with those in the bearding world who say that bearding is a sport?
It's a competition.
Bearding is a sport.
That's so Olsen. It's a beauty pageant for men.
Here's what we've determined. We had a talk about this, I believe, off the air, and we decided if it's something that you can do in your sleep, which is grow a beard, then it probably doesn't fall within the sporting category.
It's sporting, but yeah, sport is a weird thing, but definitely a competition, just like a beauty pageant or a dog show.
I agree with John. I think we're on the same page. You're not a sport, but it is a competition.
It is a competition. There's people on stage. There's judges, and we are competing against one another.
How do you compete? That was another question that we were asking. Is you get your beard all ready to go, and then do you walk the runway like a model?
Pretty much, you walk in front of a line of judges, and they all judge you on your criteria of your beard and how well it fits that category in worlds. And then you go on stage, and people see you, and then they pull out the top three and.
So in that respect, it's very much like a dog show at Westminster where you are competing against a known standard that's generally recognized as being the perfect way to grow in your category.
That's what the world's about. And then the American competitions are more free-natured and kind of just have a mustache instead of like have a dolly mustache. So
gotcha.
So we're not that picky. We just go, mustache, fine.
Yeah. And plus the show Whisker Wars, I think they're editing it to make it a little more serious. But
are you in the show?
I am. I have a few interviews in it.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. John, how do the chicks react to beards? A lot of ladies don't like beards at all, no matter how beautiful they are.
There actually is a fan club called the Whiskerinas.
Of course there is.
And they're just filled with women who love facial hair.
I don't want to meet any of those women.
Lisa, what's your policy on beards? Is that a deal breaker or you don't care with a man?
If it looks good on him, I'm okay with it.
Then you're fine with it.
Yeah.
John, is this the type of thing, another reason to get into it, I guess, is you can compete well into your 80s if you want,
exactly.
Right? There's no age limit.
It's just kind of a fun reason to meet new people and travel the world.
But you're meeting other people that have styled beards.
Yeah.
So at that point.
They're all fun, like-minded people.
I couldn't love this any more than I do. I am so down with this. And I'm now jealous that I can't grow a beard.
Is there a women's category?
Actually, some people do have women's categories. They call it the lady beard category. They put on fake mustaches and fake beards and compete.
Boom. That's a travesty. I would think you would be outraged by that.
Isn't that an offense to your sport when you're a hardworking professional?
A little bit, but it's all in good fun. So.
It's all in good fun. All right.
Does that competition happen in Glendale?
No, unfortunately. It's at the Federal Bar August 14th.
I wasn't really asking.
Okay. If you want more information about the Northern Los Angeles Bearded Mustache Club, and why wouldn't you, by the way, you can go to labeards.org. John, it's good to know that there are Americans out there, man, who are representing this country and the important things, and we appreciate you being on the show with us and listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. Ralph Garman is on vacation. We are taking turns filling in on the showbiz beat. We won't do much this hour because we want to clear the way, make sure we have plenty of time for the crowd favorite, ladies and gentlemen. Anell Rivers joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's going to be filling in on the showbiz beat. Mm-hmm. Kevin and Bean, blacklister number one. Maybe only, but he'll be here next hour. In the meantime, though, a couple of things we're following. We haven't had a chance to mention this yet today, but do you guys remember the name Richard Heaney? Richard Heaney is his name. He was in the news a lot last year for a few weeks. Well, he is the father of the little boy who became known as Balloon Boy.
Oh,
remember the hoax?
Sure.
Remember, he called the police, and he and his wife were like, oh, my God, he was climbing in a balloon, and the balloon went away. And then they were following it on TV, and it turned out he was never in the balloon. Everybody thought he had fallen out. He had died. It was just horrible. Anyway, well, he's selling the balloon. The balloon is now up for auction.
Why would someone want that?
People are into, look, why would somebody want the crazy hat that Princess Beatrice wore to the royal wedding a couple weeks ago? If something is on TV and people know what it is, there's somebody out there who's going to want to own it. I'm with you. I can't imagine I can't imagine owning the balloon and going, yeah, you remember that guy who made up the hoax about his kid being in the balloon? This is the balloon.
This
because
is the balloon.
What reaction are you going to get from that story other than, so?
You're going to get maybe, huh?
Well, he's the most hated dad in America, or at least it was for a brief time last year. The balloon is up for auction right now. He claims that he is doing it to raise money for tsunami relief in Japan. I don't trust this guy to take that money and give it to Japan at all, because the guy is already a known
liar. Of course. He's a liar.
He's got to buy it now, price of $1 million right now, claiming that he will give it to tsunami relief charities. But you can go to balloonboyflyingsaucer.com if you insist on getting more information about this crazy story.
Or you can go to any other website.
Yes.
We did a story earlier about Rose Huntington Whiteley.
Yes, we did.
Who is one of the most beautiful women in the world. She's a Victoria's Secret model. She's taking Megan Fox's place in Transformers, Dark of the Moon. So, and we were talking about, is she an acceptable replacement for Megan Fox, who we love?
Look, I think she's hot. I don't think she's an upgrade from Megan Fox. I think Megan Fox is way hotter.
So I call Lightning and I say, hey, Lightning, I want to do a post. I already did it. I already got it done. I already finished. I already did it. It's up right now. KevinAB.com. You can go right now. I was like, hey, dude, settle down. I wanted to do it like when the movie came out. So it's up right now at KevinAB.com, which is a side-by-side comparison. You see a picture of Rose Huntington Whiteley. And a picture of Megan Fox.
Okay.
And then you go to the next one, and then you see a side-by-side comparison. Then you go to the video one. He's been busy, this Lightning. He's been in there going, I gotta get this post done. So then there's a video of Rose Huntington Whiteley from Maxim.com, and then there's a video of Megan Fox from Maxim.com, and then you're allowed to vote on if she's an acceptable replacement.
Producer Alex has lost so much respect for our entire team that we instantly were able to get up eight pages of photo comparisons between these two Transformers actresses.
Yeah. And by we mean Lightning.
Right. Well, I mean, we spurred them on, but you go to the final page if you want to vote instantly. If you can't wait through all the photos, go to page 8 and that's where you can cast your vote.
Wait through the photos? That's the reason to go there. Who cares about me?
I know. That's what I think.
Who cares about
saying,
the freaking vote?
I'm just saying, for people who don't have that kind of time, they have an opinion, they want to vote.
Make that kind of time. What's wrong with you?
Who's the hotter Transformer girl, Megan Fox or Rosie Huntington Whiteley? You can find that at KevinAB.com. And let me just do one more story, because then we've got Anthony Daniels coming in, C-3PO himself from the Star Wars movie. Lisa May, you still on board with the Grey's Anatomy? I know it's still a popular show. Are you watching it at all?
Yeah, I do. Faithfully.
Will you watch if Patrick Dempsey, who is McDreamy, is no longer on the show? Or is he the draw for you?
No, I will absolutely still watch it. I love everyone on that show.
He gave an interview with the Italian Vanity Fair saying that I don't know what's going to happen to the other characters, but for me, it's done. The 2011-2012 season will be my last. The decision is bittersweet because it's been great and a great part of my life, but I can't see me doing it anymore. As a matter of fact, both Patrick Dempsey and Ellen Pompeo, who plays Meredith, both of their contracts are up next year. Mm-hmm. But Shonda Rhimes, who's the creator and showrunner for the show, says, hey, they're going to keep on doing it no matter who leaves, because they got a great ensemble cast, and this is the type of show. Hey, look, how many people left ER? And that show was on there for 20 years, right?
They were able to reinvent that one 75 times.
Exactly. I don't even think about Grey's Anatomy, and I was a huge fan of that show for the first couple of years, but then it lost me. But is it still good?
I love it. I think it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. Maybe Patrick Dempsey, maybe Ellen Pompeo both leaving the show. Today's celebrity birthdays, beautiful Alanis Morissette turns 37 years old today. Heidi Klum is 38 years old today. Academy Award winning actor Morgan Freeman, who's just, even in the crappiest movies, he's just a pleasure to watch.
He really is always great.
He's so great. And our friends Mark and Brian must be having a hell of a celebration today, because their hero Andy Griffith turns 85 today. Who? I know, right? And that is the showbiz. Give me the big music, would you please? There it is. There it is. Star Wars, one of the greatest movies franchises in all of history. Why are you drowning me out? I'm trying to do the... Hello? I'm trying to give our guests the big intro here what I'm doing.
My bad.
But the only guy who was in all six of them, ladies and gentlemen, joins us in our studio right now. The great Anthony Daniels is C-3PO, and he is here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. How are you, Mr. Daniels?
I'm very, very good. Yeah, that did come a little loud. I'm not getting anything through this.
He's not getting volume mugs.
No, I think my eardrums have been broken by John Williams. Fantastic
score. Yeah. I think Kevin wanted to hear more you, less me, so that was his way of drowning me out. I think.
But you know, when I'm on stage with the audience, I'm getting something weird through my headset. I can't hear myself. I'm not here.
Plug him in a different place.
Plug me in somewhere else. Yeah. Beam me up. Anything. Another movie. Right. when I'm on stage with the orchestra during rehearsals, I very quickly learned places not to stand because some of those instruments really can drive you out.
I'm sure.
And okay, a lot of people are wearing earplugs on the set.
Explain to people what it is.
Star Wars in concert.
Not the movie. Oh, in concert, yes.
is an extraordinary compilation of John Williams' music, specially recrafted in an orchestral suite. And then it is played live against and in sync with specially compiled films edited out of all six of the movies. So they're not in a linear way. They're around a theme, the dark side, the droids, battles, heroes, villains. Yeah.
So it doesn't go in from the beginning to the end.
No, but my story does. And that's the way, you know, different from the way George told it. So, for instance, you know, the first cue is, let me just think, whilst those bent on destroying the Republic were resigned to hide in the shadows, they would not remain hidden for long.
Sweet.
And that's when you get that wonderful Darth Maul.
And then the orchestra plays the music.
Oh, and then they come on again in a nice black lounge suit so that I'm not dressed up in gold. Sorry, guys. it's there on the screen. But for me, night after night, it's like a real family snapshot of so many elements from the past 35 years.
How about that?
So you're narrating the story of Star Wars.
Yeah.
So it's a way for people who have enjoyed the movie to see it in a completely different context, and it's fun for everybody.
That's correct. And even if you've never seen, you know, there are people who've never seen a Star Wars movie.
Oh, I'm sure.
And
what's up with those people, by the way?
They got a life. So, but what this is, and you know, there are things I've never got into. And you think, well, where do I begin? Oh, maybe I won't bother.
Maybe it's too much.
It's
to catch
too
up
much.
On.
Yeah. Star Wars in concerts, 1.5 hours, or where it's a 2-hour show with an interval. And within it, you get the entire story so it's almost like a beautiful Reader's Digest.
Would you say that you tell it better than George Lucas?
Yes.
Wow. I'm surprised that that's your answer.
But it's actually true. And, you know, he's seen the show 3 times.
All right.
And I think the last time in Chicago, I actually said to him, we had a little party, and I said, you know, this is the first time in all these years that I've really kind of understood the story. And he said, well, you know, it's given me a new look at it. And it really has given him, because we were discussing how neither he nor I can be fans of the films, because as he put it, you know, we made them. Too close. He made them. I was in them. He was being nice. But it is true that this has given him a new angle to look at it. And he loves it. You know, he keeps bringing visitors and so on.
Oh, that's cool.
And I would imagine, especially for you, Anthony, that when you, if you come across the movie or see clips from the film, you remember vividly, hey, I was super hot that day, or I was miserable, or I was hungry, or whatever it was.
My costume broke. I had an itch in a place that I couldn't get to.
That's every day, though, right?
I needed to go to the bathroom.
Like every day.
Every day, yeah.
Wow.
But I see Sir Alec Guinness on screen, you know, wonderful as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, so great.
And Carrie Fisher looking, you know, so pretty and,
sure.
and young. I, of course, looked exactly the same, but I find myself smiling at characters on screen because it is like a family.
Now, when you smile, does the suit smile?
Oh, definitely.
It does.
You know, I was just, you know, we were opening this fantastic ride in Anaheim, Star Tours.
Yes.
And I was just in Florida last week opening it there and working with Mickey Mouse and so on, and people were saying, in the character, if you're happy, you have to be. I think your brain will not allow you to act happy without your face being happy, even though it's inside a mask. So every one of 3PO's rather overblown emotions, I am performing inside.
I see.
Which means that when, for instance, doing the Ewok storytelling sequence in Return of the Jedi, there I am rehearsing just in my off-duty clothes, but I'm standing like 3PO because that is the shape I'm going to be for the camera. That's where the people next to me need to know my elbows are going to be. And
everybody go, hey, C-3PO, this is a little crazy.
That's right. Well,
he thinks he's real.
I do look crazy, but it's professional. But then I'm going about all about the story, and then I see Harrison Ford's face, and he's looking at me like, Jesus Christ.
But this this is one of the things. This is Anthony Daniels is the voice you hear that you may recognize as C-3PO from the Star Wars movies in on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. This is what we were talking about earlier today, Anthony, which is, yes, you were a guy who had your face covered, but because, and you had a background in mime, but because of your abilities as an actor, we all knew what 3PO was all about. We could tell what he was thinking, what he was doing, what he was up to, even when you didn't have dialogue.
You're absolutely right, and I take that as a great compliment, because you know when actors go on about the real struggle and the challenge,
sure,
the part, and I took the job because I just loved the director, which is like the best script I ever saw.
It's not
cast.
The case for you?
Oh, well, it's not the case for most actors. They need the job. It's quite simple. I didn't want the job, and I kind of got into it by accident, and I was forced into it, if you will, and all these years later.
Sure.
But there are ways, you know, I had to work out ways of telling the story without my face behind it.
Which is a lot more difficult, I
would
imagine. It
is hugely, and what I love about Star Wars in concert is it is my face on screen, because it is on this 80-foot, three-story-high LED high-definition screen, and I think we actually performed it in Seattle, and people, this is the very first time, though, that it's been performed outdoors, and what I love is, hopefully, it'll be a starry night above us, because it's going to be a starry night on stage. It is gorgeous that the orchestra, the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra, the Pasadena Pro Musica Choir, the conductor, Dirk Brosse, and myself, we're all live, and then 17,500 people a night are live, too.
Right.
And, you know, films are all very well, but they are kind of pre-digested, worked over, edited, polished, smoothed, and delivered in an envelope. We do it live, and there's something absolutely magical about that experience.
And you can do that on Friday and Saturday night.
That's
Hollywood
right, Bowl. Yeah. It's pretty much sold out on Saturday. There are, I think, a few seats. Friday, there are a few more. But seriously, if you want to see, you do have to ring up very soon.
Ticketmaster.com is where you can get the tickets. Anthony Daniels is our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have many more questions for you. If you don't mind, would you stick around? We can talk to you again in a moment.
Be pleased.
We'll be returning right after this on the Kevin and Bean. I'm a little bit in awe right now with our guest in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Anthony Daniels is here. He played 3PO in all of the Star Wars movies. You can see him doing a phenomenal show to Friday night and Saturday night at the Hollywood Bowl. Tickets through Ticketmaster.com called Star Wars in Concert that Anthony has just described to us. You mentioned that George Lucas has seen the show a few times. And you also made reference to the Star Wars family. You guys made so many of these movies so long ago, but have you all kind of stayed in touch? I mean, will you get a Christmas card from Kenny Baker or some of the other guys?
Not so much. People think that actors always, you must be hanging out together all the time.
Yeah, you're them and we're us.
Yeah, that's right. except with Star Wars, there really is a feeling that the audience is us as well. We're all part of the same family. So we meet up at various events.
Sure.
But for the most part, you know, we just get on with our own lives, and that's it.
What is Beer Mug doing to the band's headphones? Well, does anyone know?
There's lots of other people in it.
He doesn't have headphones at work.
You're doing it on different days.
Right, exactly. Are those working, Anthony? Can you hear us okay?
Say again?
Can you hear us okay? Are we working now?
I'm having a little headphone
issue.
Buns issue on the side of my head. You know, normally I go to a nice radio station where everything works. Obviously.
And
Tell me about it. I have to tell you, the docking bay you put us into with all these dismantled pieces of machinery.
They put you in there?
They did indeed.
What? That's the room that's being torn apart.
You tell me about it.
What?
We apologize. We apologize.
But now I have a headset that I know where I am.
Now you can.
Okay, good.
Take me
back to filming Star Wars,
Nightmare,
the first movie, which would have been 1976, I guess. You would have been making that movie, right?
That's right. I met George in 1975.
Wait, did you say Nightmare?
Yes.
All right.
Have you been to Tatooine?
I haven't. Nor do I want to be.
What a nightmare. You know, that first day, we'd had 6 months to make the costume, and it wasn't ready. It didn't work. It didn't fit.
Oh, man.
And I was logged in all day, etc. The place was a dump. The weather was horrible. The robots kept breaking. Nobody understood what George was talking about.
And this is, of course, before they became famous, so no one even knew if this was going to work, right?
The mindset was, I'm making a schlocky B movie, and thank God I'm getting paid for it, and hopefully no one will see it. I mean, did you guys not recognize the quality of the film and the writing and everything?
No, the quality of writing. I mean, you remember what Harrison Ford famously said. George, you can write this, but you can't say it. We all thought that, and poor George, you know, he must have felt terribly bullied by everything, including the weather. And he just kept his head down, working, 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 working. And, you know, all the praise really needs to go to him, because none of us believed.
Sweet.
That's so amazing to me, because so often you hear people that say, I knew there was something magic in the set, the interaction with the actors, the chemistry. I could tell it was coming together.
That
it was
going
to be great.
Actors BS.
Really? Interesting.
Wait, that's never happened for you?
What? That I've known something's really good?
Yeah, that you get a sense that this is better than
the
average.
It's like with Star Wars in concert. I said, why are you having all these images on screen with John's music? His music is good enough, brilliant enough to stand on its own.
Right.
If you want the images, go see the movie. And they said, oh, shut up.
Good.
And then
they turned out to be right. You turned out to be wrong. Because it's awesome, right?
100%. Yeah, I was totally wrong. And I stand on stage absolutely astounded by the images which Lucasfilm wove together, and blown away, of course, by John's music. And the two go together perfectly. Now, here's the thing. Dirk Brosset, our conductor, is conducting absolutely in sync with the picture. Now, he's got a cue screen that tells him in 1.3 seconds the planet is going to explode. So you better have everybody go boom at the same time.
That seems like that would be really difficult timing-wise.
Hugely. Yeah. And that's why they have endless rehearsals. And if you come to the show, when you come to the show, watch the orchestra, because they're watching the conductor. Mostly they ignore the guy and just, you know, do it in time. Here, they need to know that he's all having to slow down a bit because we're getting there a bit too soon, that's fine. Or speed up because the plan is going to be... And it's magic. And, of course, you've got all your favorite tunes. What's your favorite tune?
Of Star Wars?
Well, the Darth Vader theme, obviously. Leia's theme, obviously. Yoda's theme, obviously.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Oh, Yoda.
That's strong.
You know, what I love is that, and it did come as a bit of a surprise to me, you know, I introduce a diminutive green-skinned Jedi Master known simply as Yoda.
Yeah!
Everybody goes crazy.
Yeah.
Was there any hesitation on your behalf when you heard the rumblings that they were going to go back, George Lucas was finally going to go back and make the prequels, and would you be involved? Is it something you were excited about getting back into the Star Wars universe, or did you kind of have to be talked into that as well?
No, even I realized this was a good thing, yeah. No, I was hugely thrilled. I mean, it kind of, in a sense, it was less fun because, you know, the originals, all the scenery was there pretty much. You
right.
know, we had the Death Star in the back lot there. We walked in on a Monday morning and went, whoa, look at this. And that's, you know, scenery and stuff really helps you get in the mood for acting. When you've got another piece of blue carpet and another blue wall, or if you're lucky, they've changed the color to green.
Green, maybe. Yeah.
Or occasionally yellow. I mean, it's all to do with what...
What percentage of it was that, where they would put the special effects in later?
Oh, pretty much most of it.
Most of it.
What was a joy was when we, you know, we would have a set like Padme's beautiful sitting room, which was a vast thing, you know, and that really did feel like old-fashioned Hollywood glamour. But you can see why they use blue screen, because it just makes everything a heck of a lot easier for them.
I imagine.
Yeah, but I can understand what you're saying. As an actor, though, it's so much easier to get in character and understand where and what you're doing if you've got something to look at. When everything's against the blue screen, that's tough. That is tough.
One day, George was saying, all right, you open this door and these monsters come out. So, George, how big are these monsters? And do they walk? Oh, no, they fly. Oh, well, thank you. So, you see, instantly I've got a performance where I'm not looking at the floor. I'm now looking up and doing, oh, they're flying away and they're monster acting. Because it's all in his head, so he forgets to tell people.
So he can see it, but he has trouble... communicating it? It sounds like you had to grill him to get the actual information.
Well, he's got so much going on in his head. You see, I'm meant to be doing my own homework and so on. But that was one little moment. And I remember, you know, there we are flying a spaceship, me and Natalie Portman. And we have beautiful chairs to sit on. We have a joystick each. But that's it. There's some sandbags holding the joysticks. But when I see the movie, we're in this beautiful silver spacecraft.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I had been looking around doing flying acting, but it's like, I don't know what I'm looking at.
That's unbelievable. Anthony Daniels is our guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're almost out of time. I have to mention your website, anthonydaniels.com, by the way, because you spent a lot of time interacting with your fans and answering questions. And I learned so much from going through. I mean, you're very smart to have written as much as you did. Before you forget it all, because some of it was a long time ago. But the thing that I had never heard before that really amazed me is that in all the scenes where you have these long conversations with R2-D2, of course, played by Kenny Baker in the film. And there he is now. None of that was going on live at the time the scenes were being shot. You were acting against silence, right?
Yes, and it actually came as a big shock because nobody pointed that out during...
What's happening? This sounds like a college production.
Yeah, it was totally college.
So we're going to put sound effects in later.
No, it just said R2 beeps a reply, C-3PO says this, and R2 answers, whatever.
Wow.
And then on day one, I'd just come out of the theater where, I was talking to other people. But the other thing, of course, is that, if it wobbled, Kenny was in there. But the rest of the time, it was a remote-controlled machine, like, with little joystick things, and it would go crazy and just smash into me and knock me out.
And you couldn't see very well in the suit anyway.
Full of hate. And then, of course, in the prequels, it was pretty much totally digital. So sometimes it would be there, but most of the time it would be put on afterwards. My very last scene, I told this story, is where they had been cleaning the blue carpet, and there was the George said, "You're talking to R2, and we'll put him in later." And so during the rehearsal for the camera, I went and got the little Henry domed vacuum cleaner that they've been brushing the carpet with, and I walked along with talking to that, and it was
sweet.
Crew really tight. George didn't leave it in the finished movie, which
what?
I think
come on,
here's
now.
What I have learned today: it's a miracle any of these movies got made. That's what I've learned 100%. Today.
And it's thanks to the sheer guts and determination of George and the brilliance of the editors who can weave all this together.
Absolutely.
And just the occasion of the actors kind of trying to hang on there, please,
just trying to do their best to not be a distraction.
Yes,
right.
Live music from the great orchestra, film elements expertly synchronized, a multimedia one-of-a-kind Star Wars experience that's happening Friday and Saturday night. Sounds like a great time for the whole family. Whether you've seen Star Wars or not, it's happening at the world-famous Hollywood Bowl Friday and Saturday night at Star Wars in Concert. Go to Ticketmaster.com. Anthony, what a pleasure to have you in today.
I won't be in costume, but you will be.
Exactly.
Because it's going to be a real fun night. I intend
we
to have
enjoyed
fun.
The visit, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and may the force be with
sorry,
you.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. That was a classic line, and I'm playing a stupid commercial.
And take two.
And take two.
Thank you, and may the force be with you.
I don't know what's going on here today, but Anthony Daniels, C-3PO from the Star Wars movies, just left. And now the dark side just arrived. Ladies and gentlemen, Anel Rivers joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you very much. Good morning,
Black listener number one, who I think is you and Doto are the only listeners we ever invite in to fill in for Ralph when the showbiz beat is on vacation, right?
Yeah, but I'm nowhere near as skilled as Doto.
That's true. That goes without saying, right. All right, Anel, special rules for your showbiz beat. I understand you don't like the photographers, you don't like the sound effects of the paparazzi. You got something else you'd like to use?
No, sir, I'm not a fan of the paparazzi. I prefer a drop that goes a little something like this.
Girl, holla!
And that will let you know I'm on to the next story
That's Bean, by the way, for those of you that don't recognize.
Girl, holla! That is actually my doorbell at my home.
Yeah.
So what's going on today? What stories are you interested in?
Oh, man, it is a wild, wild world out there, man. Have you guys been keeping up with this whole Blake Lively situation out there, man?
Only yes.
Only yes? Uh-huh. I need those pictures to be her. They're saying, I agree.
They got to be real, right?
They have to be real, man.
Here's the thing. They're strong. And if they're not real, she should say they're real.
Here's my thing. They look damn good.
That's what I'm saying.
If somebody released pictures of me that look like that,
right?
I would own those. I would so own those.
Just say
well,
that
you have it. Those boobs, Anel, but you don't have that butt.
I don't have that ass, man, is what it is. Blake ain't got nothing on me up in the cup section, man. I look great in a two-piece. But basically, her reps are coming out now and saying that those are not her in the photos. I'm going to tell her reps that her rep is a lying liar who lies.
Okay.
And I know for a fact that that's her. Because I just know. Because
you want it to be.
Well, because my penis never lies.
I see.
It's always right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's... I'm just going to say, Blake Lively, if it's not you, then you need to find out who that model is.
Then we need to meet her.
Yeah, we need to meet her. Yeah. And if it is you, then God bless you.
Girl, holla!
Next up, I got a little story. Have you guys heard about what happened with Ron Artest over the weekend here?
No, but I like...
Oh, man, let me tell you. It's a bad day in your relationship when Ron Artest is the peacemaker.
Okay,
so Ron Artest apparently was leaving a nightclub in Hollywood the other night, and there were some people that actually started having a fist fight, a man and a woman.
Started having
a fist fight. Yeah, now Ron is apt to snap, so you got to be careful about being violent around him. But apparently Ron did the right thing, which he stepped in and intervened in the situation. And I'm telling you, that girl's boyfriend probably couldn't have been more terrified
when a
6'7" black man stepped in.
Well, any guy that'll hit a woman, he deserves that.
Man, hey, get your damn hands off of her.
Girl, holla!
Next up, man, have you got the terrible news? Sean Kingston. He's a R&B artist. You know, he was in a jet ski crash over the weekend, and you know, I guess he's been upgraded now. He's actually in stable condition, and he's in the ICU here. But come on, you know, black people. y'all know we got a sordid history with boats, okay? so I'm saying,
stay away.
Sean Kingston on a jet ski, hell yeah, stay away. There's a lot of black people that got on the boat, and that was the last time they got on the boat. Okay, so Sean Kingston, and on top of that, he's a heavy set black man on a jet ski.
Yeah,
that's a recipe for destruction, you know. But
but he's doing better.
He's doing better. All but right. Yeah, I guess he hit a bridge. But yeah, you know they say, man, every artist hits a wall in his career. So
they mean it literally.
Thank you. I'll be here all week. Now, we got a story here. Now, Kim Kardashian, y'all know she's engaged to my man, Chris Humphries. Yeah, man. But she wants to change her name from Kim Kardashian, which we all know and love, the double KK brand,
sure,
to Kim Humphries, which sounds a bit bland, if I don't
it
know.
Is, it is interesting, Humphries. Now that you are down with the double K, not so much with the triple K, first of all.
Yeah.
And second of all, yeah, Kardashian is a name brand that means something, believe it or not, in reality television. Why throw that away? Plus, what happens if you get divorced? You're going to have to go back to Kardashian. It seems like you're setting yourself up for heartache.
Right, and I mean, the Armenian people, they're a proud people. You know what I mean? You've got the, you know, the Kardashians and the Tarkanians, and then you got the Kyrissians. And I mean, you know what I mean?
Not sure.
Orlando's not Armenian? Not playing Glendale? Okay, my bad. So. I just, C-3PO, I was just chopping it up with him in the hallway.
Sure.
And that was a surreal experience, by the way. I know. Yeah, he walked in. He's like, there's a Wookiee loose in the hallway.
Girl, holla!
Next, I don't know if you guys heard, my man Mark Paul Gosselaar is he just recently got divorced from I believe what's Mark Paul Gosselaar's name is Lisa Ann Russell.
Okay, and, so hot by the
way. Yeah, you know, but I mean Mark Paul Gosselaar. I mean, look at the guy, man. I mean that guy. Listen, message from Manel. Take solace in knowing that you can bang any girl that graduated in the 90s. Seriously, because my girlfriend, for example, she is Zach Morris crazy. I have to say by the bell is on the DVR, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mark Paul Gosselaar, please keep your head up.
I'm sure he won't have a problem rebounding.
He's got that new show. I think he's coming in maybe next week or something like that. We're talking about that new show called Franklin and Bash that apparently is very, very good. But he's a good actor. I mean, he's one of those guys who managed to survive shows like Saved by the Bell and go on to have a real career.
Yeah, I like him, man. But I'm always sad when I hear that celebrities get divorced, man. It always hurts me to know that you know, somebody's going to lose a family structure. You know, it's just a sad thing. They've been married like 15 years. But, you know, like I said, Mark, you know, message from your black man here, man. Keep your head up, brother. You know what I'm saying? Stay strong.
Girl, holla!
Next up, I want to roll into some celebrity birthdays here. We got Alanis Morissette. She is 37.
All right, let me stop you right there.
Had a little bit of Kouye.
Had a little bit of a debate earlier today. I was questioned on the bell for Alanis Morissette. I think she's a beautiful woman, Anel. What do you think? You got a discerning eye.
Alanis Morissette gets a bell. Did you hear that song she wrote?
Oh,
she
broke
up, and I hate that it gives you AIDS and die. And she's good. She knows she's a wildcat in the bedroom. I say she gets a bell. Oh, she gets a bell. She definitely gets a bell. And I see Heidi Klum is 38. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. She went black, and she ain't been back since. You got Ron Wood of a little band I like to call Not Aerosmith. He's 60. Hey, I'm an American, man. Check that out. You know what I'm saying? I USA, USA. Let's see, he's 64. And Morgan Freeman, he's 74 and has to be the coolest black man in the world. Y'all know Morgan Freeman, right?
We would watch him in anything.
Man, I guess he divorced his wife to get with like his step granddaughter or something like that.
Yes.
That's a player.
That was weird.
I wish I could tell you. Andrew got away. he's so smooth with it, man. He made jail rape sound comforting. You heard that? I'm like,
wow.
Poor Andrew. And last up, we got Andy Griffith. He's 85 years old. And shout out to my boy from Mayberry. I love me some Andy Griffith, man. And Matt Locke. And he's just, that's a great actor right there, man.
All right.
I wish he was my
dad.
I
would not have predicted that reaction to Andy Griffith from Adele.
Andy Griffith is the bomb. And let me tell you something. I spent a lot of years without cable, man. You feel me? So, Channel 5, Andy Griffith, the Munsters. Three Stooges, Little Rascals. That's all me
all
right
about
there.
It. All right.
You know what I'm saying?
About that?
There you go,
ladies
man.
And gentlemen, our friend Anel Rivers right there with
Girl,
the Showcase Beat.
Thank you very much.
Outstanding as always, my friend.
Thank you,
Anel. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Steve-O in the studio with us. Hopefully, he won't set himself on fire like he did at Foolishness.
That was awesome.
They were like, whatever you do, don't use fire. And he went, all right, dude. And then he set himself on fire. And we also have your naked pictures got out.
After
the Blake Lively scandal today.
I got some. You want to see some?
Nope.
No.
Do not want to see that.
They're not of me, silly.
Topic tomorrow morning.
They're not of me. They're of Dewan.
On an all-new Kevin.